Blog Talk Radio.
I hope they're going to be okay. See if we can try them one more time here.
Forever and a day, right?
Call from the 646. You're live.
Hello?
Caller from 646-215. You're on live.
Yeah, Jason.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Dazriel, the one calling in. Apparently, I was just on the line listening. But since you pulled me in, what's going on?
Yeah, you got, dude, you got, sound like you got off along fire going back there. He must work for the fire department or something. Brother, I'm going to put you back on hold, and you're going to have to stay there for a little while. If you just want to listen in, you can just press 1 again on your phone, and it'll put you back in just the list queue. So just press 1 again on your phone, and that way you can just go ahead and link, because I'm sorry, but you just got too much going on there behind you right now, man. I'll check back with you later if you're still on the caller queue, but there is just too much going on back there. It really is. Let's try another line here. Caller 631, you're on live with the Black Channel.
It's Jason Black?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is James. I'm calling from New York. How you doing? Black First.
Black First, brother. What's your mind, Black man?
I've been listening to you for a bit, and I must say that I am impressed, and you put the fire under me. I mean, I've always had the fire and the ambition, and I'm all about building, and I've been, you know, trying to do better, building businesses. I do a business, fitness business right now, and I'm working on product cultivation right now so I can, you know, generate some long-term legacy money. But I just feel like people would rather BS and deal with terrible, you know, things that don't even matter just because it's easier that way. It's harder to be ambitious and buckle down and sacrifice, and people lack sacrifice and discipline, and I think that's prevalent in our community, and that's why people are struggling, but they refuse to stop trying to fit in. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why they don't see the abysmal situation.
Well, they see it, brother, but they've gotten accustomed to living at the bottom. They've gotten accustomed to just living at the bottom of things. That's what they do now. Live at the bottom of the barrel.
It's too late now. I mean, like, it's been too late.
Yeah, they just live at the bottom of the barrel. They're happy with what they got, and they want you to be happy with it as well. Now, what part of New York do you live in?
I live in Queens, New York. I live in Queens, live right outside of New York City.
Okay. How on point are Black people in Queens right now?
They're not. They're not on point. I mean, they're not on point. It's very difficult to find people that are on point, period. I mean, not even on a racial, on a Black level, on any level, but it's really ridiculous.
Just the problem is, and I'm cutting you off here, is when you say it's hard to find people who are on point on any level, here's the problem. The problem is with Black people, we need to concentrate on us. Let the
That's
Asians
true,
fix
right.
their problem. Let the white folk fix their problem. Let the Arabs fix their problem. And let you and me fix our problem.
You're right.
Because none of them are sitting around saying everybody is messed up on every level. When they talk about their problems, they just talk about just themselves. You can't get them to show any concern or sympathy for what's going on with you. The man say,
right,
damn,
right.
what's going through. Them folk will tell you quick, damn, what you going through. You
know, right.
It's about
you're
us,
right.
and you got to fix yours.
You're right. I mean, it's extremely difficult, period. I mean, like you say, most majority of the men, they chase their lower regions. You know, it's very difficult to find people to build, and it's very difficult to find a woman to be with as well. If you're going to stick to your own race, it's very, very difficult. So it's hard, but I mean, it's not hard as far as where I'm concerned, because I have time. Like, I'm only 30. I have time to build, and I know that when I build, I can get whatever woman I would like. So it's not hard to get sex, like you say. So I don't understand why that's the big deal. I don't pride myself in possessions or trying to show off. I invest my money in my business, and I am all about growing, all about building. So I really respect what you do. I don't care what anybody says. All the nonsense that's going on, it's just distractions.
Well, people are desirous of that, though. Now, how old are you?
I'm 30.
30 years old. I want to ask you a bit of a personal question, if I can.
Go ahead.
Do you have both of your parents?
Do I what?
Did you have both of your parents growing up?
Absolutely.
Okay, so your mother and your father.
Mm-hmm.
Are both of them black?
Yep.
Did they leave you anything to build with?
My parents are still alive.
I understand they're still alive. I mean, like I say, I mean, I'm just assuming it right there. Regardless
yeah,
of if
I mean,
they were
like,
alive, did,
yeah.
did they leave you anything to build with?
My dad helps me if I need help. Like, you know, they pay for school. My parents, I mean, they do their thing. Like, they're financially responsible. They own property. So if I need help, they support me. My parents are more like bootstrapping people. They like to see, my dad really, like to see you build. And then if I need help, then I reach out. But I've been doing my thing. So not in that aspect as far as I'm basically proving myself to my dad really, like right now. Like that's really what, I don't know how else to explain it. That's how I feel like the situation is in my household.
So you feel that you are trying to honor your father?
You know, like, as I've gotten older, I care less and less what my parents think, but I feel like once I solidify myself and get, because I'm at the point where I'm getting really, really great as far as momentum-wise, starts building. So I feel like once I have viable proof of this is what I've done, this is my plan, this is the next step that I want to get to, I feel like I can get financial backing that's adequate, like without a problem. So that's
well,
what I'm working on now.
Here's the problem that I have. Why aren't they building any? Why did they not build anything for you? Paying for your schooling is fine. That's wonderful. That's great. I'm not trying to diss your parents or anything. I just want you to think about something. I just read an article yesterday from Forbes magazine about a 30-year-old fella, and he started two businesses before he met these millionaires to start Suja Juice.
Yeah, I read the article. What I'm asking is,
you know, why come you didn't get that? Because you sound like a bright fella. You sound articulate. You sound like you got your head screwed on, right? Where was the resources that was supposed to be waiting for you?
There wasn't. I mean, I can't. You know, it's crazy. Like, I don't know. And you know, that's what's interesting. I don't know. I mean, there wasn't one. I mean, but I'm not gonna allow that to continue. But I still can get. I mean, I have resources. I mean, it wasn't built for me, but I have. I don't feel like I'm not supported. Like, I am supported. Like, I'm probably one of the most supported people that is out there as far as when I have something that's concrete to show, I can get, I have serious backing to do it. So I don't know, I can't really answer for why. I don't think they were thinking in that aspect. I don't know. I don't know why they weren't thinking in that aspect. Both my parents are self-employed, so I don't know. I can't answer for that, you know, but I won't. If I can't pass on a legacy, then I'm not going to have children. Like, if I can't make certain that my children are going to be better off from the get-go, and if they don't have to work for somebody, they won't have to work for somebody, then I'm not going to have children. So I can't speak to that.
I want you to understand that you're in Queens. And the gentrification machine is not running full steam in Queens just yet. But you see it coming. I mean, you're not stupid. You see what's happening in Manhattan.
Oh,
you
crazy.
See what's happening in Harlem. You see what's happening in Brooklyn. And you know it's just a matter of time before those steamrollers and bulldozers show up where you are. You know that.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. It's. I mean, like, you could see I did real estate for 3 years, actual transactions, did mortgages for 6 years. You see it, man. And people are not prepared. I mean, they're not prepared. I don't know what they're thinking, but you could see it in the rent. The rent is no joke, you know. It's no joke here. and just purchasing property alone, and you know, it's insane. Like the median rent for Manhattan is like $3,300 a month. I mean, like I live in the outskirts, and I pay like $1,200 a month. That's just for my rent. So I have my own spot, but I mean that. But I'm building right now. I mean, I could afford more, but then I can't. That I wouldn't be able to build the way I want to build. So that's why I sacrifice so that I could use money to make me money instead of, you know, just trying to live in a way that's not going to benefit me long term. But yeah, man, it's no joke. People are not prepared. People would rather try to move than grind and figure out a way to live. Like the 9-to-5 way is not the way. You know, it hasn't been the way for some time. And if you're not doing something as far as, you know, building your own enterprise and being able to employ yourself and your children or your predecessor, whoever, like, you know, then I don't understand how you're gonna make it. You know, that's the only way that I feel like you're gonna be able to be financially independent. It's very difficult.
Now,
to
how many bedrooms can you get for that $1,200?
I have a studio, brother. I have a 400 square foot studio. You can get a bedroom in the Bronx, you know, somewhere or some place that you don't want to live for the price that you. I'm in a very central location. I have 5 trains that are near me within 5 minutes. So, and that's because I travel for work. So
well, what do you say to the people who say that you're trying to live beyond your means?
What do you mean? What do I say to myself?
What do you say to the people who say that, hey, you're talking about how expensive it is, oh, the rent's so high. What do you say to the people who say that you're just trying to live beyond your means?
No, I believe I dictate my own means. I mean, I don't feel like, why should I live in squalor? I'm not used to living in squalor. I never was broke when growing up. I did whatever I want. You know, I got whatever I want when I was little. Christmas-wise and whatever gift-wise, I'm not used to being broke. I've seen my family make money. I've seen my dad's friends make money. Like, I come from a really great group of black people that have businesses and stuff like that. So I think I have a really unique experience as far as, you know, black men are concerned, because I see genuine hustlers that do things legally, that make money, that build, that enterprise, that have maids, that have help, you know, that live in old Brookville, and they're black people. They make money. So I can't look that way. Like I can't live that way. I don't know how to explain it. It's not in me.
Now I want you all to think about something. Now you're 30 years old.
Yes.
The rent is $12 a month. We're not even talking about your utilities. Not talking about any of your other expenses. Just $1,200 a month, and you're 30. Now.
Yes.
You live in a city that, for those of you who don't know about New York, we all know about the federal income tax. We all know about state income tax. New York City has a city income tax on top of everything else.
Yep.
So this young man did mention that before, but I just wanted to throw out there that you're in one of the few places in America that actually has a city income tax.
Yep.
On top of all the other taxes that you have to pay in that place.
It's
you have
dope,
a city
man.
Income tax, too. So that's all that comes out of your paycheck before you have to pay your rent. So think about how much money this kid's got to make at 30 just so he can pay rent on that place.
Yeah. I mean, I'm self-employed, so it's easier for me. Like I make a good living on my own. I'm better off than the majority of people, especially as time is concerned. I get compensated very well for little time. So that's enabled me to do what I need to do. But it's no joke, man. You have to be on your grind here. People are on your grind. If they're not on their grind in New York City, they need to leave, because you're not going to be able to survive here. And that's why people has a mad exodus to go to Florida and down south and all these places. But I'm not leaving here until I make money, man. Like, I'm not leaving here. Like, I want to, you know, this is where I'm from. This is where I love being here. I've traveled, and I don't want to live anywhere else. So I'm going to do whatever I got to do to stay.
Well, I don't mind you pitching your flag there, and you got the right attitude about it. You're self-employed, which means you've separated yourself from that employee class. And
yeah,
that
absolutely.
Will come in pretty doggone handy, let me tell you. That come in pretty damn handy. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Just keep doing what you're doing, TBA. I love it, and I want to build. I want to get in. I think I messaged you in regards to something that I was trying to do, but, you know, I really do appreciate
everything
you
did. go ahead and just resend it to me, though. As a matter of fact, you better resend it to now, and that way I know who you were.
All right, sounds good, man. I appreciate you everything you do, Blackburst, brother. Thank you very much. All right, bye-bye.
Go ahead and see if you can take a few more phone calls here. Now, Celine, this should be you here. Caller from the 215. Is this brother Celine?
Yes, this is Jason Black.
Yes, brother. What's on your mind?
How you doing? This is Salim. I'm calling from Philly. Now, I'm interested in having, like, a mobile detailing business, but I do have a issue. I don't quite have the best credit. And I know that starting a business usually requires a person, well, not all the time, but for the most part, I would say that a person would need to, like, you know, get a loan from a bank or something like that. And usually a bank's willingness to offer you a loan is dependent upon how good your credit score is. Now, the only other way I could think about, like, you know, trying to implement this mobile detailing business is if I would have to have, like, a very, very, very strict savings plan. That means I may have to put a certain amount of money to the side no matter what. And at times that can be a challenge, but you know what I'm saying. I just need to work towards two things: either saving up or fixing my credit, or definitely both. And I just wanted to get your insight on what you would suggest in regards to you know, trying to get your credit fixed.
Okay, well, the real question is not about getting credit. Okay. You get a goal, and the goal finds the money. Let's talk about your goals. Now, you said I have, and people who listen to me from all the time when I give out advice, if you'll all realize that my sentences, depending on what they ask me, start exactly the same. This is not me coming off the top of my head. The rules that you apply situations in life. People ask me what kind of business should I start. I ask them, what's your purpose for living? When they ask me about getting money, I say, what's your goal? Now, brother, what is your goal? By that, I mean, you said, I need to start a mobile detailing business. Okay, what do you need to start that business?
Well, I know for certain that I'm going to need certain tools, such as, you know, the automobile, like the van, to like a tank inside of the van to hold water, some wash soap, some cleaning supplies, like some Windex or whatever, and a vacuum cleaner. And maybe a power generator to power the vacuum cleaner. Now, these are the supplies that I know that I'm going to need to run the business. And then, of course, after that, I have to do advertising. I think the best form is word of mouth. But then again, you know, passing out flyers and flashcards also works as well.
Do you have a job now?
Yes.
You need to get another part-time job.
Okay.
That's the first thing. If you're complaining about a loan, your income's not high enough. That's the first thing. Second thing, do you have any kids?
No, I don't.
Okay, you're a single man with no kids, or just the kids you're claiming?
Well, actually, I have no kids right now, not at all.
Okay, you've got none right now. 2015 might be different now. Okay, now, to get a van, that's just a couple thousand dollars to get a decent
right.
one. Probably going to want something like a Ford Econoline or something like that if you're going to be trying to haul around generators. Now,
right.
The thing that you didn't mention, though, you didn't say anything about a power washer or anything like that.
Right, so, yeah, that's right.
I'm assuming that when you said soap and stuff like that, it sounds like you're planning on doing this just sponges and shimmies. Is that it?
And you said shimmies, like chamois?
I'm sorry, I meant chamois. But if what I'm trying to find out, though, is that to get those kind of things, that's not a whole lot of money, is my real point. So what I'm saying is that I'm trying to figure out here is some element that, you know, we're not seeing here. Is there some element to it that I'm not finding out, because you didn't mention about a pressure washer before. But when you said generator, I'm like, well, he must have some kind of pressure machine he wants to hook up to it. Otherwise, what are you going to do with all that water that you want to haul around? So that's my real question is, okay, are there some other elements here that I don't know about?
Oh, you mean in regards to the stuff that's going to be in the van?
Yes, yes, because you got paid for all of it. I mean, unless you're going to knock some other dude with a mobile detail and some business over the head and run off with his van, I don't know how far you're going to get. You might get pretty far. I only saw 3 police cars my entire month in Philadelphia, which was the most insane thing ever, by the way. But what are you going to – I mean, so let me find out here. Here's the thing, brother. Do you know exactly all the equipment you need?
Oh, absolutely.
Battle
I know exactly.
Battle it off now. Tell me right now exactly what do you need when you pull up in front of Grandma Goosemeyer's house. What's in this van?
What's in the van is it will be a big tank with water in it. It will be a pressure washer. It will be a sponge or one of those brushes that you use to dip inside of the soap water. It will be certain spray cleaners such as All Purpose. It will be a tire shine. It will be a vacuum cleaner. It will be an electric generator to power the vacuum. That's if I don't want to hook it up to the van's battery, because I know if I hook it up to the van's battery, it'll probably drain the battery so quickly. And also, I'm going to need wax and some chamois and, you know, all the typical things that they have for detailing. Oh, yeah, some snow blitz, like some air freshener.
Okay, so basically, we're not talking about a lot of expensive equipment. The 3 most expensive things would be the generator, power washer, and the van itself, the 3 mechanized devices. I mean, a vacuum,
right.
Really. I mean, I'm not – you can get a vacuum for $50. You agree. Go to eBay. But here's my thing, okay? Here's what jumps out at me first. Are you taking on yourself some expenses that you may not need? First thing that jumps out at me is about the water. Why is it that the place you're going – why is it the customer can't have the water?
Right. So, in other words, you know what I'm saying, you're suggesting that if I go to a customer's house, that I can use their water instead.
Just ask them. You don't even have to tell them that we ain't got no tank in here. Just ask them, do you have a water? Do you have running water? Nobody's going to use that. Just, do you have running water? Next thing, about that generator, do you actually need the generator?
Well, you know what? Come to think of it, alternatively, the vacuum could be plugged up to the van, but, you know what I'm saying, but always have the concern of whether or not the van's battery will die from constant use of the vacuum, because I know the battery will become discharged after a while.
Yeah, that's something to think about, but here's my thing. Why don't you just get a 50-foot extension cord? I mean, a 50-foot, you know, extension cord.
Oh, you know what? I could probably use a person's extension cord, but you know what I'm saying? The thing is that if I'm in a person's house, I would actually use their water and their electric. But let's say, for example, I'm at a business, or let's say, heck, in the middle of a doggone parking lot of a mall.
Yes, that's my point, though. But do you see what I'm getting at here, okay?
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
It's like Robert Rodriguez said about movie. Now, if you got a whole bunch of money, well, you can do a whole bunch of stuff. You just turn on your money hose and wash all your problems away. But if you're on a budget, you got no money. If you got no money, you got no hose. You can't just turn on your money hose and wash things away. That means you have to be creative. Now, the bad thing is that a technical person cannot necessarily become a creative person. Good news is a creative person can also become a technical person. You've already shown your technical. What I'm trying to do is start developing your creativity. Do I actually have to do this, or am I doing it because there's a certain appearance I want to give? Case in point. Now, Celine's detailing is going to be $15 less than everybody else's. That's what gets people to call. So when he asks if they have water, if they have electricity, they understand that that's a trade-off for this discount that they're getting.
Okay.
Little things like that. Because let me tell you, brother, I got people on this line right now. I got people in California, and I've seen them. The Mexicans ain't got nothing but a broom and a mop and a vacuum when they show up.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute, Celine. Am I lying? Now, that's the question that you and everybody else needs to ask themselves. By the way, are they doing that day one, or do they do that when the times get better? Or do they just get it out and get it until they get what they can, until they get what they really wanted?
Well, it seems like to me, you know what I'm saying, they're doing what they got to do. It's a hustle.
So how do, and look, all I can say is, are they failing? How do we get to a point where, you know, not where we're saying that, okay, that's good for us? What I'm saying is that if you don't have a money hose, you need to start improvising. Now,
okay,
does that mean that there may be some customers that you cannot service? Yes, but, Aleem, by definition, there will always be a customer you cannot service. By definition. Hell, if he's stuck in 3 feet of snow, guess who ain't getting detailed today?
Right.
I'm just saying, brother, that there's always going to be somebody you can't service. There's always going to be a circumstance that Saleem is not the right guy. Brother, I've had tow trucks that I called. One time, on one of my cars, it broke ball joints. I had to call three tow truck companies. And in react, when they got there, none of them would work. None of them tried to get the car. None of them.
Okay.
They said your ball joints are broken. And they were like, we're not going to touch this car. Because if we try to drag it up on this, because it was parked in such a way that the front of it was blocked. And it's a rear-wheel drive car, so you can't, you had to pick up the front of it to do this. Couldn't pick it up from the rear, otherwise it was the front wheel that lost the ball joint. So you can't pick up the rear because you'll tear off the front frame of the car. So they were like, we can't get to the front of the car to pick up the front. We can't move this car. Three companies, not one, not two, three. And I had money. I was willing to pay $180, $300, get this thing to my mechanic. None of them would touch me. Now, they're tow truck companies, ain't they?
Yeah, they are tow truck companies. They wouldn't touch
But what did I find out that day? Can't service everybody. Now, you don't have to tell your customers your business. That's not their business. But you have the right to ask, if they want you to service them, you have the right to ask a couple of questions. Do you have a water source? Do you have a power source? Are you in the middle of a shopping mall? Can't help you. Are you stuck over there at Home Depot? Can't help you. I'm not being a jerk. I can't help you.
Right.
And let them call somebody who can. Now, in a year, when Saleem, well, less than a year, shouldn't take you that long. But once Saleem gets his stuff together, Saleem will have that generator. You might get it within 3 or 4 months. Get that generator and get that water tank if you want to, and let's hustle up. But what I'm saying is that we're letting modesty and self-consciousness rob us of making a living. Instead of just saying, you know what, I mean, and I hate to say this because it's going to sound like a terrible analogy, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Black females never talk like that, Saleem. They always say somebody wants this.
Exactly.
And they keep shopping until they get somebody who does. Now, that's one thing, that's one play that we can take out of Shaniqua's playbook. Somebody is going to be a paying customer. Now, if all those things you named, the one that I think nothing's going to work without that generator first. Next order of business. Like I say, instead of buying it new, go to eBay, go to the pawn shop, go whatever. Get you the cheap generator that you can that will power your equipment. I mean, now you know if you've been in the pawn shop, they got power washers there all the time. They got pressure washers there all the time. They got generators there all the time. I'm saying you got options. Really, it shouldn't cost more than $4,000 to get all that together. Forget the bank, brother. You should be able to save that up over the course of a year. If you can't save up $4,000 in a year, you're doing something wrong. Do you have any habits?
Yeah, that's the goal.
Slow down. Do you have any habits?
Do I have any habits such as, like, you know, drug habits? I don't have drug habits.
Legal vices.
Well, the only habit I can think of that I have, for real, is the love for pizza and cheesesteaks.
Okay, well, I'm talking about legal vices, like smoking, drinking, things that you can live full well without.
Oh, smoking and drinking. Well, I don't have the smoking habit, but every so often, I mean every so often, like maybe on selected weekends, I will get a little something to drink.
Okay. It's time for you to start deciding what's more important, just like a person on a diet. Do I want this drink that will make me – do I want this drink I've wanted all day, or do I want the life that I've waited for all my life?
That's definitely something to consider.
We make our choices, brother. The Mexican's coming across that border, he made his choice.
Mm.
He made his choice. Plain and simple, he made it. Now, Ideal Being did make one point. He said, rent a generator maybe. That's not a bad idea depending on your finances, okay? Because at the beginning, I don't know how feasible that will be. But he makes a very good suggestion there, renting, if you are able to rent, because most rental places do not want a credit check, say. So that's one way to bypass that little credit problem that you were talking about. The other thing is, brother, you need to get your credit straightened out. Now, do you know how to do that?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to follow some of the techniques. See, my dad, he published a book called The 5 Secrets Debt Collectors Don't Want You to Know About. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send each and every person who claims that I have a delinquent account, this letter stating that, you know what I'm saying, they have to prove within 30 days that the debt is valid. And aww. I'm going to send them a letter, and the only way they can show that the debt is valid is if they have my signature that authorizes the debt. And if they cannot produce those documents.
That's the long way of doing things, brother. I'm no disrespect to your dad. I'm sure he's a financial whiz. That's the long way of doing it. But to be totally honest with you, it's not the best way. I'm going to ask you a question, brother. Are you in a business or are you trying to run a hustle?
Well, you know what? A little bit of both.
Okay. Hustlers never win and never make it.
Okay.
So I'm just telling you right now, you can be a hustler. You can hustle. But if all you run is a hustle, you're not going to be in business very long.
Okay.
You can easier to start business credit than it is to fix purse credit. Because even if you get all of those creditors of your personal credit to remove all those things, and your dad will tell you this, guess what you did? You start yourself. All you really did was start yourself back at zero again. You don't have anything to help you. All you can do is get the creditors off of there. But guess what you also did? And I know this from personal experience. Yeah, I got all the creditors off, but then Equifax and TransUnion and Experian cleared everything. Because once I pulled that little trick, they didn't think that anything was valid anymore. And they simply removed everything.
Okay.
Now, what will happen if that happens to you, and it's very likely, you're starting all over again. But guess what? You're starting all over again anyway. Why not start all over again with something that's to your advantage? Now, let's just be honest here, Celine. Can you really get all those creditors off your credit report? Let's just be honest.
Well, I would have to probably say maybe there's about an 85% chance.
Okay, that's my point. If you can't get them all off, would our energy be better spent in another direction? I'm not saying you shouldn't send them the letters. It's not hurt you, okay? Do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is you still are going to be a business owner. If you want a business-size loan from the bank, walking in there with your personal credit report is not the way to do it. Go to the bank, open up a business account at the bank. If you want to get your credit started with them real quick, open up a business account. Now, in your case, I'm going to recommend maybe a little bit down the road here, but you need to put at least $2,000 into it.
Okay, that sounds really good.
And then take out a secured loan against the $2,000. So you got $2,000 from the bank. You will take out a loan from the bank for $2,000, but leave the $2,000 with the bank as collateral against the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in some banks, case, the bank will not let you take use the whole amount that's secured. In this case, they only let you use 50%, but it depends on your bank. But what I'm saying is you're not going to spend the money. You're going to pay them back over the course of 3 to 4 months. You're going to put them in the box and pay them back over the course of 3 or 4 months. And guess what happens? They go and report that.
Okay.
On your business credit, which is pristine and clear, and only has your assets on it. No liabilities whatsoever. Because remember what Mitt Romney told you. Corporations are people, my friend. So when it comes time to taking out a loan, your business entity is a person. And it is his credit that you will be going to the bank for, not Queens.
Mm-hmm.
His credit is perfectly fine. And Salim can buy anything he wants with it. You're like the guy from The Wire now, man. We all start to talk like Republicans at the time. That's game,
so,
brother.
Well, that's a pretty good game. But I do have a question in regards to business credit. Now, if you have good business credit, and let's say I want to take out a loan for, I'm gonna just use this as a hypothetical. I want to take out a loan for an automobile. Would I be approved for it if I have good business credit but bad personal credit?
No. The credit is for the business itself. You will be able to get business credit cards, business debit cards, everything. Back when I used to work in transportation, the little old bigot who owned the company, he used to send me out all the time with the company's credit card. And I would just walk in the store, swipe it just like anybody else, and get hundreds, thousands of dollars worth of stuff. And it had the company's name on the card.
Okay.
Now, of course, you will be listed as, you know, owner or whatever, but that's your company that's opening up the account. So if you want to know how all these corporations and all these business owners and whatnot get away with such stuff, yeah, there's a little more paperwork, but after you finish the paperwork, welcome to a whole new world of abilities. And here's the great thing, Celine. If your first business goes belly up, what can you do?
If it goes belly up, that means if it dies.
Yes.
Oh, well, I would hope that the business would never die, but, you know.
Yeah, but if it does, the great thing about having business credit is if your business dies, what can you do?
I guess you'll have you'll have good credit, or you have some money saved in the account.
Well, even if you don't, even if the credit for the business gets totally screwed up, can't use any more of that at all. The great thing about this new strategy that you know is that you can go back and do it again. Start up a new business, go open up a new business account, and we go do this all over again.
Oh, I see. So basically,
and creditors for Celine's detailing are just creditors for Celine's detailing, because those creditors are after Celine's detailing. Celine's detailing files bankruptcy, and I guess that's the end of that. Now, will somebody probably try to be a jerk and maybe try to go after your personal holdings? That'll be a bit of a challenge. That would be a bit of a challenge. But you need to talk that over to your attorney and your accountant. But what I'm saying is that you have a new world of protections now. Now, you've got options, man. Now, the other thing I want to know is, have you ever worked in detailing?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so you already know this business.
Give
yourself 1 year. And I'm sure you have some money in the bank now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that came real meek and quiet. Do you have any money in the bank now, Salim?
Yes, I do have something saved up right now. Absolutely.
Okay. We don't have to go into the specifics, but I want you to spend this income tax season. I don't know if you got anything back or not. If you did, sit on it. Give yourself the next 12 months. Bologna and cheese sandwiches, no frills. You got cable, cancel it. You got a phone, get prepaid.
Mm-hmm.
No frills. Strapped. Dead down, that's it. The bare essentials. And I'm not telling you anything I haven't done. When I worked in transportation, I got tired of the people I was working for. I was eating bologna and cheese sandwiches for a year and a half.
Dang.
Brother, I'm not asking you to do checkout girl at the store knew me when I came in, but she would smile because she knew what I was doing. She was another woman, but she smiled because she knew what I was doing. And she was like, you and your bologna and cheese. Things got rough for a little while. Here's the crazy thing, though, Celine. Things got rough for a little while. I had to stop with the cheese.
Dang, so you couldn't eat bologna. Now you just ate regular bologna.
Brother, I would not be telling y'all this just because I'm bored. Brother, I'm not saying anything to you that I have not done. I'm not telling you nothing that I have done. Bill Gates, we can say the same thing about him. Steve Jobs, have you ever saw what the inside of Steve Jobs' house looked like? He didn't have a couch. The rooms were bare. Now, he did that by choice, but his rooms were bare. He had, like, this Zen bed that was, like, on the floor. That's like no dresser, no TV there, no nothing. So what I'm saying to you is that don't worry about all these accoutrements that you think are so special, all these nigga trinkets.
Right.
Because the people who care don't count. And the people who count don't care. Now, if you're really trying to get into that mogul-type life, brother, this is time to pay your dues. If this is your time to pay the cost of the boss. You'll be self-conscious about it at first. But you can keep your mind on your money and your money on your mind.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg couldn't have said it better himself.
Damn them females. Damn them dudes on the corner. They're going to be coming to you looking for a job very shortly. Very shortly. Those are not the people you need to be trying to impress. You need to impress that loan officer at the bank for that business account. That's the only person that you need to be trying to impress. Right now, brother, you just keep it like that. Oh, one more thing. I forgot to mention. One more thing. This will trip y'all out.
Oh, boy. Seriously.
All right, question. Now, you're probably going to figure out where I'm going with this when I ask my question. How much, during that time I was eating bologna and cheese sandwiches, everybody, my question, how much does a refrigerator cost?
A small refrigerator probably costs like about $100.
How about a full-size refrigerator?
I'm guessing if you can get it used for about maybe $150, $200.
Okay. Now, I actually didn't have a refrigerator.
What?
Not even a small one.
What about your milk and your eggs and all that stuff?
I already told you I'll eat.
What do you drink?
I had water.
Oh, you drank water room temperature?
Well, no, I had ice. Wait a minute. Hold on. This Negro was living like he was at the Fleabag Inn. Yes. I would get ice. I knew this chick who was this convenience store. I hope he didn't fire her. But I could get ice from there, or I could get it from my kinfolk. If you're going to go show up at your family's house, show up for something that they got a lot of and won't mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how Black Authority was able to get the money to buy the vehicle that started him on a mission that wasted, he estimates now, somewhere around $150,000, $200,000. when it was all over. I made a bunch of money, and I wasted a bunch of money. But my point is, at least I got a bunch of money to waste. Most 22-year-olds can't say, I blew $150,000 this year. Most of them can't say that.
Right.
Now, I don't know how old you are just yet. How old are you?
Actually, I'm 31.
Okay. All I'm going to say, brother, is I paid my dues. I'm not telling you that you have to do everything that I did, okay? If you got a refrigerator, I'm not telling you throw it out and get an ice chest. I'm not telling you that.
Okay.
That he's probably thinking, oh, TBA, I really got to get rid of the refrigerator. No, you do not have to get rid of the refrigerator. I will tell you one thing, though. Next time you turn on that refrigerator, go outside and take a look at your electric meter. Then go back inside, unplug that refrigerator. Go back out there and look at that electric meter again.
Yeah.
And just remember, I live in Philadelphia. I'm going to leave you with this. There's a story from the book. Chickens for the Soul, and I think it was John McCormack's book, Self-Made in America, I think it was, by a fellow named, that he knew named Van. Van had come to the United States, Vietnam, and he was a successful fisherman over there before America came bombing and blowing stuff up and starting the war. Well, he wound up coming to America, and after he came to America, he was basically, he spent all of his money just to get here. So he went from being a successful businessman in Vietnam to being broke. He got here to America, and he moved in with a cousin of his. He was very depressed, by the way, at the time. He had a wife, and she came with him. He almost jumped overboard on the boat that was bringing him here. He almost jumped overboard. The only reason that he stopped, he said, was because she told him, but if you jump, what's going to happen to me? And that was the only reason he didn't do it. Because when a man cannot provide for his family, he don't feel like a man anymore. Or at least he shouldn't. A bunch of Negroes out here ain't providing for nothing and call themselves men. And I don't have respect for that. But I digress. Van got to the United States, and there was a cousin of his. Now, what I just tell you, he's Vietnamese, and his Vietnamese cousin's already here. His cousin owned a donut shop at the mall. His cousin made a deal with him. I will sell you, not give you, sell you my donut shop at the mall. Yeah, I'll sell you my donut shop at the mall to pay me, and you've got 3 years to pay for it in full. Yeah, not only do you have to pay me, you have to work here while you're paying me. Van and his wife both went to work at the donut shop. Van and his wife both lived at the donut shop. So when the customers left the mall, after Van and his wife closed up, they went in the back, pulled out their little sleeping bags, and went to sleep. Van was later asked, why did you do that? Why didn't you just get an apartment or something? To which Van said, if I had gotten an apartment, I would have had to pay rent. I would have had to pay utilities. I would have had to pay for appliances. I wouldn't be close to the mall because it was in a suburban area, so I would have had to get a car so I could drive to work every day. I would have had to pay a car note, insurance, maintenance, all those other things. And, of course, if you have a car, we're going to want to go out to eat and other little niceties. He said, what I figured out was that if I had ever gotten that apartment, I never would have been able to buy the donut shop.
Okay.
That's what people who come from real poverty and are really tired of it, they do what's necessary to get the hell out of it. And they don't worry about who laughs and who snickers. Them people ain't paying your bills. And very shortly, you're going to be driving up a car that costs more whole damn life. Black folk are like the New Orleans Saints from 8 years ago. most awesome team in the NFL for the first quarter of the game. Get your ass kicked the fourth quarter of every single game you go into. But, boy, I was great in the first quarter, wasn't I? The rest of these people are saying, damn, that first quarter, we're Peyton Manning. I want to win in that fourth quarter because that one is the most important. I hope I've given you some information you can use. This broadcast will be recorded so you can listen to it later. I will let you have the last word, brother.
Okay, well, as always, Mr. Jason Black, you are, you know what I'm saying, very intelligent. You always try to go for the path of empowerment. And even though some people may deem your words as being kind of mean, harsh, or whatever, stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, I deem it as being the truth. Because I think that the truth should be given to a person in an unambiguous manner to the point where there's no misunderstandings as to what you're trying to say. You know, those who do get offended by what you say, you know what I'm saying, that's an indication that what you're saying is getting to them. So that means, since you didn't sugarcoat it, they see, when you sugarcoat your stuff, they don't take it seriously. When you give it to them in a straight-up manner, now they're taking it seriously. How do you know? Look how they're reacting to it. So I just want to continue to tell you to have your broadcast, put up your messages on Facebook and all your good videos. I'm always looking for new videos that you may have because I admire you and I admire your works and I admire your straightforward attitude. So just, you know, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for joining us, brother. And for people who think I'm harsh or whatever like that, I don't care. Because in the schools that I operate in, everybody is like that. Everybody. Got a lot more damn money and influence than you do. They talk to each other like children. They talk to each other like men. Nobody is trying to hold your hand and pat you on the hand and mollycoddle you and suckle you and nurture you. Grown men looking for a grown man and give them nurturing instead of giving them instruction. I am not your friend. I'm not your father. I'm not your buddy. I'm the black authority for whatever that's worth to you. But when you call this telephone and speak to me, I'm going to talk to you like a man, not a child. Take a look at every coach in the NFL. He does not ask his players, is this what you would like to do? He tells you this is what you're screwing up. This is what you're doing wrong. And you better fix it now. Doesn't try to figure out, well, let me figure out, what's the way you would like to hear this? And let's find exactly the kind of words that would make you feel most comfortable with the way I'm saying this. Damn your comfort level. Giving it to you straight. No chaser. If it humiliates you, he's not humiliating you. Your actions are humiliating you. He's just the messenger. And that's why I'm mad. Go ahead and open up the phone lines here. Caller from the, well, let me check on a few things here first. Make sure we don't have any nonsense. Okay. Caller from the 678. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, how you doing? This is Q in Atlanta.
Okay. If you're on speaker, you need to take it off, brother. It's echoing real bad in that room.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Okay. What's your name and where you calling from?
This is Q in Atlanta.
What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, I got to ask you a social question according to your topic, but I just wanted to also ask you the question in regards to the gentleman that just got off. Should he not also take more time to, even though he's been in the industry, to research the success and failures of people who are trying to do what he's trying to do? That actually helped me in the company I started.
Absolutely. I'm assuming he's looked into it already. He asked me about, I'm assuming that he's made the decision that this is the direction he wants to go in. I thought about asking that, but he's made it very clear that, hey, I worked in this business. I'm trying to get my own thing up and going. What do I need to do with that? And here's the thing, brother. He may be, where other people have failed, he may have a method of doing it that succeeds. I can give him the game, but you're absolutely right. He needs to make sure that, hey, that there's enough of that going on. But let me tell you, from what I saw, because I just came from Philadelphia last year, from what I saw, yeah, there's plenty of cars. OMG, there are plenty of cars in Philadelphia.
Right.
If you've never been there, let me tell y'all, Roosevelt, for the people who live in Philadelphia, Roosevelt and Adams will never forget that spaghetti soup intersection as long as I live. And for those of you who live in Philadelphia, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where that damn Walmart and the Home Depot are. Goodness gracious.
Okay.
Never been in a city where cars roll like that 24 hours a day. Never in my life. So there's enough cars for him.
But should he not then do like Rockefeller and go focus on getting contracts as opposed to the hustle?
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I'm not saying he shouldn't do any of those things. Here's the thing, brother. He's got to get the equipment first before he can refine his business model.
Okay.
And what you're saying, those are all valid things you're saying. You're absolutely valid. And should he be doing all those things? Because he's still listening, by the way. He's still there.
Right.
Yes. Oh, he should absolutely be doing all these. Contracts are a good thing. Regular customers are a good thing. Seasonal is a good thing. You know, he should, if it suits his fancy, yes, do all those things. And he needs to get more people working for him. He needs to have a fleet of vehicles because that's where real wealth comes from.
Okay, now to my question, it's more of a social question. I kind of understand the financials. Black men failing, and you're a very enlightened individual, so I'm kind of curious on how you perceive this question. Everywhere I've traveled, I lived in Romania, England, France, and when I came back to America, the thing that concerned me more so about black males, which is your topic, even though I know it's a financial thing, is that the black American males are too concerned with women and helping women succeed. No other place have I ever been where a male group is so concerned with women and putting women first. I mean, even the blacks in Europe are not that concerned with putting women first. And women in turn here, kind of like what you alluded to, they're very much about them first, more so than they are the males. While outside of America, I notice more of the women, even like the richest woman in China, is more concerned about men than she is about other women. So can you kind of elaborate for me on my thinking on whether that has some validity or no or what?
But it's not just in America. Black men around the world place their social significance on females. And that's why I did my video about it's senseless for black men to be simping for sex. We place our social value not on what we've built, but on who we've laid on top of. That's why all these dudes out here putting up videos of their girlfriends and putting up pictures of white women in their butts and, you know, all this stuff here. We chase sex forever. That's what black men fixate on. Me, you've never seen a video where I put up sitting up here talking about, you know, this chick is sexy or anything like that. I put one with Nicki Minaj. YouTube chose that thumbnail, by the way. I didn't choose that. YouTube chose it. I'm a busy man. I just leave the thumbnails like they are. But black men subscribe their personal value to who they slept with. And that's because black men are not building anything. If we're actually building something, see, white men subscribe their power. They subscribe their value from what they built. They subscribe their value from power. Because the first call said, they think about their fathers, which is something that the average black male does not have to do in America, is think about his father. He's not trying to uphold his father's honor and his father's legacy. So you talked about the Rockefellers. Now, did you notice the way you said it? The Rockefellers, plural. And you meant it just like that. Because what? They're a dynasty. Just like the Kennedys. And guess what? The wealth is still there. Why? Because they are all still honoring John Rockefeller. and Joe Kennedy. That's right. But the average black male is not upholding a legacy. He doesn't know who his father is, so there is no legacy to uphold. Thus, sex it is. What else has he got? He's only answered to a female his whole life. That's a dynamic that you don't see in those other places that you were talking about. The boys don't answer to females. Tariq said something on his previous broadcast, I think it was last week, that the problem is that so many of these males, a woman is not going to give you the game the way a man would. Your mama is going to give you the game from an academic standpoint. She's not going to tell you all the freak, nasty, ratchet stuff that she was doing in the back of cars and stuff. She ain't going to tell you all that. Or at least I certainly hope she's not going to tell you that. Because even if she were with me, I'd be like, Mom, TMFI.
Right.
But your dad is supposed to sit you down and give you the game. And Mom is supposed to sit the daughters down and give them the game. But your mom is not going to sit there and tell it to you straight like that. So we've got three generations of black males who've never been given the game, and they subscribe to that feminine ideology, that feminine structure that they were born in. So that is the reason that happens.
Right, and I'm not going to hold up. I know you got other callers, but I've also did speaking engagements where I made the point that isn't it kind of strange how in majority, not all, but majority single mother homes, the daughter will be pushed to succeed as an individual, the way a Chinese or Arab guy will push his son to succeed. But the boy, the black boy, it seemed like he's cuddled to fail. And it will be the same family, same mother, same, but it's the situation that's cloned in every other single parent home. It seemed like unless the boy can play some type of sport or some type of activity, it seems like he fails and the daughter succeeds. It's kind of a weird thing that I noticed, but it is what it is.
Devastating.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for your time, bro. Thank you for the enlightenment. I continue to listen.
Thank you very much for checking with us, Black First, as always. Let's go ahead and see if we can open up the phone lines here. Caller from the 843, you've been holding for a while. Thank you very much for your patience. And you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, this is Pius. How's it going?
Okay, what's your name you're calling from?
This is Pius out of Phoenix. What's going on?
Okay, Tobias, your phone's breaking a little bit there, brother. What's on your mind, Black Man?
Oh, I was just, I'm about the job, man. Just want to check in on one thing. I listen to you talk to these black men. And one thing that I've noticed is that so many of these guys are so worried about what their mom is going to think, what their dad is going to think, instead of making their own choices in life. And I hear so many say, well, my parents may not like that, but their parents are going to die someday. You know, I hate to say that, but parents are going to die someday. And I see so many black men are not chasing their dreams through the other things like having kids too young, getting into trouble, all kind of stuff like that. So I believe that with a lot of these black men out here, they're going to have to stop succumbing to what's going on in these streets and understand what really goes on. That one bad decision could mess up their lives and make it tougher. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It's all listening. Black folk are not accustomed to people, you know, listening to them. That's why it's like our cars, you know. I can't tell you how many black folk have gotten in my car, and because it's not run down and raggedy, you can't feel the engine vibrating in the car. So they're like, is this thing cut off or something? No, it's a well-tuned engine. That's what it is.
I'm at work, man, so I'm making sure, you know. I didn't get cut off or anything.
No, you're fine. But, I mean, you're absolutely right. We got a priorities problem. Black folk are so easily distracted to get off into nonsense. And the men who are supposed to maintain the discipline of the people, that's the real issue, man. Men are supposed to maintain the discipline of the people, and the men are worried about skirt chasing. That's what we're doing. We're worried about skirt chasing. Not worried about fixing problems. We're just worried about skirt chasing. That's where we draw our importance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing also is that I'm actually going to walk away from the military in a couple of months. And you know this, that they're actually trying to cut, like the Air Force cutting all these people, like 20-something thousand. And I noticed that so many people are so scared about what's going to happen to them. And, well, I already made my moves and stuff preparing for years. But it's so many people. This is why, like, I love my parents. But with black people, we got to stop asking our parents everything because they just don't know everything. They grew up in an era in Alabama where, you know, where Montgomery, Alabama, you know, they're happy to get a job and work at the plant for 30 years. Those days are over. They still think of the times where you go to the military, you do 20 years, and you get a check somewhere, and you work at the post office. Well, we know the post office is dead pretty much, and that check is not so good now. And he had that feeling, it's like, I want more out of life. And so many people don't understand that sometimes you got to take risks. We have too many of these players, safe brothers out here. And my last thing is, when you're taking risks, you have to have to make sacrifices. You know, I don't have, y'all know I don't have children. Look at how much easier it is for me to take a risk because I don't have a wife and kid to worry about.
Exactly.
If what happens, so many people are out of, if I never get married or have a kid, I'm at peace with that. But the problem is that there's the order. Because you have to have your finances stuff taken care of first. Because especially as black men, we may only have one shot at the brass ring sometimes. You may only have one or two chances. You know, so women are always going to be there. There's ample opportunity to have kids. But I feel like that we got to understand that you have to prioritize, get your money together first. Then you have your family because you can really spend time with that family. And I tell you this one last thing, I'll let you go, man, because I need another caller. A couple of years ago, there's one sister I know. I told her I'm going to walk away, but I'm going to hold off on family because I want to focus on starting a new career. You know, I already buckled down fancy school, try to meet these mentors and stuff, start like a business or a new career. So I'm busy. So I said, it's not fair to have a wife and kids for that. And she was saying that, well, you know, why are you acting that way? That's selfish. I'm like, no, it's, yes, I'm being selfish, but I say it's not fair to her if I don't have time for her or a kid. And I said, I'd rather focus on building myself up first, then I have the time for the family. Because the family needs me at home. Not always, even though I'll be working hard, but they still need me at home. I can make money, but if I'm not at home, what good is that going to do?
But look at the questions you're asking, though. When you talk about the black men who are not realizing that they may not get another chance at this, man. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking about another chance at that.
Because
the average black
man
is not building nothing. He's not building anything. And because he's not building anything and he's not upholding what his father built because he ain't got a father. Well, he's got a father, but he never knew him. And his dad didn't leave him anything to maintain. That's why they don't care about knocking up these hood rats. Because, man, I ain't got nothing to lose. What does he have to lose? He's in a housing project that he doesn't own. Clothes he didn't pay for. With a male who everybody else is passing around. He doesn't have a business. Doesn't have a job. What does he have to lose? Nothing to lose. And that's why those thoughts don't cross his head. Because you got in your mind, Tobias, visions of cars and houses and credit accounts. Brother, his mind hasn't made it that far. And that's why it keeps happening. Over and over again.
Yeah, you're right. Because, and what happens is, it's like, I remember my sister went to college. And I didn't, like, I love looking at social media, for one thing. And I compared to how it was my sister went to college. My parents paid for her apartment, car note, all this stuff. They weren't rich, but they were like, okay, you might have to pay the loan back for this. But okay, but we're going to pay her so we have to add on to the loan by staying off on an on-campus apartment. She can live off-campus. They paid her bills, paid her car note, took care of books and all that. And I was like, well, that's not great. It's not greatest, but it's so much better than what a lot of these people get. And I see all these kids on Facebook, these parents get these kids, all this stuff. What's nothing wrong with that? But I'm thinking, okay, when this kid starts having to go to college or business or something in 10 years, what you going to be able to get them? Yeah, got
okay, but that's the problem, though. But that's the problem. Because you just said there a moment ago, I see these kids and they got all this stuff, and that's not a problem. But when they get ready to go to college, what are you going to do? Okay, the problem right there. The stuff is the problem. Because if we got our kids Jordans, we know how to get our kids Jordans. We don't know how we are going to give our children a better standard of living than we had. And the average black person not only doesn't know how, they're not even asking. And that is treason. Tobias, that is high treason against children. Now, understand something. You talk about Alabama. I'm in Louisiana. We know how it is down here in the South. We just have to come to a conclusion now as a people. Black, you're just going to have to accept that for a lot of you, particularly in the South, but for a lot of you, you need to look at your parents with honest eyes and just be honest with yourself. Mom, Dad, I love you. Y'all are just some folks. If working at the post office is the pinnacle of aspirations in your life, you got pretty simple aspirations. You've got pretty basic, minimal aspirations. Working at a post office, working at a car plant, that's the most you ever wanted out of life? That's it? That's all? Something that anybody can do who walks in the door. Don't you want something better? Don't you want more? And a lot of us just have to understand that your parents, I mean, you made a very good point, Bias, an extremely good point. And your point basically is that sometimes your parents, while they're qualified to teach you how to read and write, they're not qualified to give you the game. And sometimes, a lot of times, you're going to have to get up, go out there, and go get the game yourself. And it starts with wanting a better life. But for a lot of people, yeah, your parents may not be qualified to give you the game. Just that simple. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
I'll say thanks. I'll say this. And that what you're saying, it doesn't mean your parents don't care about you, because sometimes they just don't know. And you have to look at social media. Social media is out there. And like with me, I want to be an independent recruiter. So I know how to work in the industry, see how it goes, for the ins and outs. But one thing I did, my sister gave me this information. Like this, you probably heard of score.org. They got all these retired businessmen free of charge, meet up with them. You got to get up in the morning to see them. They got all these free workshops. You got to get up in the morning on a Saturday, go to these free workshops. You meet up with people. They give you free game right there. But you're going to have to get up in the morning and go. And mind you, I said it's free. You're supposed to take your time out of their day. But when I found my mentor for this, first thing, he wanted to know if I was serious. So I had to let him know what my plan was. And then after that, he started to talk to me. And he wanted to know if I was serious first. I wasn't going to waste his time. And he wanted to see if I was willing to learn. But that's all I have. So thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much for joining us. As usual, brother, please check us again. Tobias, playing out of Arizona. Wanted to give a shout-out also to Lazarus today. So Lazarus, if you're out there listening, pretty good post that you put up. As a matter of fact, very interesting that not a lot of people actually understood that and got it. But very good post by Lazarus today. Just wanted to let you know, brother, I hadn't forgotten, and that's kind of stuck with me. So just letting you know that pretty astute observation there. Take a few more phone calls here. Caller from the 646. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from the 646-228 on live with Black Panther. Like, Last try. Caller from 646. You're on live. Black Panther. Are you stuck under a forklift? Six is apps. Probably been abducted. So if anybody hears from 646-228-8874, you want to contact medical personnel. 646-228-8874 has possibly been abducted. Hopefully someone will be able to get in touch with his next of kin and find out if he's going to be all right. We're rooting for you, 646-228-8874. If someone wants to call him and check to see, hey, brother, you all right under that forklift where you're at? Let's check a few more calls here. Somebody must be stuck or something. I don't understand. Caller from the 678, you're on live. Caller from the 78, you're on live, the Black Channel. Okay. Caller from the 678 is not on there. They were as soon as I opened up their line. They were not, so maybe they just pressed the number 1 again, had an opportunity to rethink it, which is fine. I won't hold a grudge about that, but please make sure you press that first get on the line, people. Come on. This is the home, the haven for intelligent black thought. This is the blackchannel.net radio. Now, this is the place where intelligent black society meets. And we talk about the things that nobody else is talking about. We talk about empowerment. You haven't heard a group of black men, and it's been nothing but men who have called in today. Black men sitting around, not discussing pipe dreaming, not discussing weed smoking, not discussing females and hoes, not discussing detritus, not sitting up here arguing over their dating lives, not talking about whether or not this man over here, or that man over there, or that woman over here, or that woman over there, talking about adult things. This isn't the kind of thing that you're accustomed to hearing black men talk about. But this is the kind of thing that we do here at the Black Channel every single week. And I want you to be a part of that. I want you to join that discussion. The telephone number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code to the blackest radio program in existence, the only one of its kind on planet Earth today. Something might have happened here on Blog Talk again because a bunch of people, they were on and they disappeared and I'm seeing them come back, so we're doing it again. Caller from the 909 live Black Channel. Second try. Caller from the 909, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 909-486 has possibly been abducted as well. That's not good. Last try, caller from 909-486. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller 909 apparently has been abducted. I don't know what happened to 909-486-7792, but if anybody does see 909-486-7792 or feels inclined to give them a call, please check with them. Make sure that 909-486-7792 is okay. Once again, that phone's number is 909-486-7792. Make sure they're all right. Wouldn't want them to be in distress and nobody know where they're at. All right, let's go ahead and try another phone call here. Caller from the 717, You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Mr. Jason Black.
Yes, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm calling from York, Pennsylvania.
And your name?
My name is Ngazi.
Hello, Ngazi. Got a lot of calls from Pennsylvania today. Actually, for the last few weeks, I've gotten a lot of calls from there. So I'm big in Pennsylvania. I'm big in Vegas.
You could say. Well, I've heard a couple moments ago you mentioned that this is a radio show where you can come and have intelligent conversation.
Broadcast.
Am I right in saying that?
Broadcast.
And I...
Oh, ma'am.
Yes,
you're not right. Broadcast is not a show. What Steve Harvey does, that's a show. What Robin Alan Thicke used to do, that's a show. This is a broadcast.
Broadcast. Okay, let's not be petty. I'm not trying to get into the technicalities. What
okay.
I was going to say
starting
is,
on a bad foot already. It's not petty if I don't say it. If I say it's petty, it's petty. So why I don't
true,
like to call my distinction petty. I don't know what you do in your house, but in my house, you don't get to come in and say my distinctions are petty. You're very rude. And haven't been on the phone for a full minute yet, and you're extremely rude.
Yes, well, we'll get into that. I'm
yes,
calling
well,
because
I... No, we won't, because I don't want to talk to rude people. Why don't you act like an adult? Because I'm not being rude to you. Why don't you try being an adult for a few minutes? It might,
well,
you might enjoy
rude.
It. You might enjoy it. It might just be something that you're like, hey, not acting stupid feels really good and different. I
let me know when you're finished.
You're about to be finished here in just a moment.
I'm calling in because you're talking about rudeness and you're also talking about uplifting the Black community
no,
and so forth.
Aunt
but you
I'm
were
talking
very
about
rude to Mr. Shibuzu who called in on your radio show.
I'm talking
and
about
I'm
that.
Confused.
I'm talking about entrepreneurship. I don't want to talk about anything else. Did you call to talk about entrepreneurship?
I did not, but I'm calling
okay.
because...
Okay, you need to call back some other day. We're not talking about anything else but building an entrepreneurship. You got a bad attitude.
Oh,
and
okay,
don't
and I'm
that.
Here. Okay,
and call
then
back
I'm going
to discuss
this
time.
As well.
Not talking
I'm here
about
to talk
that
about
building... So we're going to talk to somebody else. Call from the 405 on Live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Black Authority, this is Sir Greatness.
Sir Greatness, we haven't heard from you in summers and winters.
Oh. No,
where
man.
Where have you been?
Man, I've been a lot of changes in my life.
Now, for those who don't remember Sir Greatness, this is one of my young lions. Along with Rick and some of the others, this was one of my young lions. Now, you should have been in graduate studies the last time I spoke to you. So, how is the super complex world of mathematics for you?
Well, sir, actually, I didn't go to grad school because I got a really, really, really good job. That I'm not bragging or anything, and so. I figured that it would be better for me not to go to graduate school because I was making more money than like 80-90% of them. So I was like, well, what happened was is that when I got the job, I ran into the job I work at now. This guy was telling me about me need to – it was an African guy from Kenya, and he was telling me how – for me being single, instead of me, you know, chasing women and doing stuff like that, that he said, I need to start investing and you try to get into business. And he really inspired me. And so he was actually investing in Kenya. And my supervisor is Nigerian. So, I've learned a lot, so I wanted to talk about my investment plan, if you don't mind me speaking for a little bit.
As long as it doesn't put people to sleep, that's perfect.
hey, when I hear ROI...
It's just like talking about astrophysics. Now, if you're an astrophysics professor, talking about Alpha Centauri and quantum physics is absolutely mind-blowingly fascinating. And to the rest of the population, it's the quickest way to cure insomnia. So just keep that in mind here. But I can give you a few minutes to give us all an update since we haven't heard from you so long.
Oh, thank you. I'm all about talking about business. Business is, I don't look at entrepreneurship as like a chore. I think it's fun. I think it's like going out and gambling or something. It's fun. So if ROI, if terms like ROI bores people, then they have problems. So for me, what I wanted to do is that I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Shout out to Dr. Umar Johnson that's coming in May. Oh, I'm going to see that. But anyway, I wanted to talk about how they have a section in Tulsa. Tulsa is a different breed of an animal because in the north side of Tulsa, where the black most of the black folks stay, it's gotten really bad. And so they have properties down there, 10, 15, 20,000. And so what I was thinking, it says me just investing, you know, in like the more expensive properties. What I would do is that I would go and buy those properties on the north side. Since they're high risk tenants, what I want to do is that do a rent to own type of thing where they will go in. Let's say I get the house for $20,000 on my return, and I could give $2,000. I make him give me $2,000, so I can weather for 4 or 5, 6 months. And let's just say in 2 or 3 months they leave and they only pay 1 month rent. I can do that. Then on top of that, I'll charge them at least 20-30% more than what the interest on the mortgage that I borrowed, or I can just pay straight out of pocket on that. So I will go in there and be like, hey, you pay $2,000 up front. That will pay for at least 6 to 8 months of rent, which I figure they wouldn't pay anyway. So I already made a profit regardless. But I tell them rent to own, so they feel like they're owning. But since they're so high risk, they'll never really own the house. So they will pay so many months of rent, they'll move out, and then I just keep moving. And since there's so many people going to community colleges and graduating, and the statistics show that there are not many people going to getting the jobs in their fields, because usually people go to college not to get an actual degree, but you go there to make cupcakes and get a craft degree. They don't really get degrees that they need in their field, so they have to go back. Instead of getting a home and owning stuff, they get liabilities instead of assets. And so you have this influx of renters. So they're high risk, but it's a high reward. So you're going to keep having those people coming in, and it's going to keep having money. So, and I was talking to an African guy about this, and we were talking about, he told me instead of me just spending the money once I get those houses, I should go and buy more of them, then get to the point where I stop working, and then try to sell all those houses and buy commercial. And since I have a really, really good salary, it'll be easier for me to borrow money. So I just want you to think and make. I just want you to criticize and kind of tear up my plan and kind of retune it. And sorry if I spoke too long, by the way.
Okay, so basically, what you went through all to say is you want to get into real estate.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Because I have the time and I have the I have somewhat of the money to do so. So
okay, there are only two types of real estate: residential and commercial. Sounds
sure.
Like you're talking about if you're getting rent houses, then that's residential. Running a business,
yeah.
But it's residential. The way that you deal with all that basically means it's the simplest thing. You know, you buy one and then you use lateral to buy the others. That's essentially the simplest way of doing those things. Your credit needs to be together. If it is not, you need to take care of that before you do anything else. You cannot talk about going into the world of real estate with your credit looking like the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Not going to happen. I don't care if it's your personal credit or if you establish a business account. You need to have some good credit before you talk about going into real estate. The old days of being able to just buy a house outright are over, which means you need to be in the new world where buying a house is very expensive. That's an endeavor that you're going into. So if your credit's not together, forget it. This is not the thing for you to be doing. The good news is you can get your credit together relatively easy. The bad news is you need to get your credit together. So if not doing that, that's going to be something that you're going to need to take care of first and foremost. Next thing is you need to decide how big you want this operation to be. You don't want to have so much that you can't handle it. If you are renting, remember you are subject to laws and building codes. And if you got Section 8 tenants, you're subject to Section 8 standards. So once again, depends on how big an operation you want. If you got 3 houses, you might be able to be the landlord by yourself. If you've got 30 houses, you will need to have a crew of maintenance people.
You'll just have to.
Especially after your first year, you're going to have a crew of maintenance people. You're going to have to, because essentially that's like an apartment complex. Could you imagine an apartment complex without a crew of maintenance people? Well, what are the chances that there could be 2 plumbing leaks in 2 of my houses simultaneously? Answer from TBA, chances are pretty damn good. I know, I've been there. The chances are very good, especially in the wintertime. And in Louisiana, we have 2 problems. See, in Louisiana, we can have freezes, but Louisiana is an older and poorer state, so we have 2 problems. In the wintertime, freezing. In the summertime, heat. It is nothing to go to Louisiana and see water gushing out through the concrete. Absolutely nothing. And anybody who lives in Louisiana who's either online or in the chat room, you know what I'm talking about. It is nothing to go through in July and August and have water gushing up through the cracks in the streets. Nothing. Happens all the time. And will happen in your house. So what I'm saying is that you need to be prepared for that before you go in. For example, if you're dealing with Section 8 tenants, for example, not saying that that's what you're going to do, but I'm just giving you a head up just in case you were thinking in that direction. Now, Section 8 has their own standards. And the standard Section 8 is essentially, if it's in the house, it must work.
See.
Now, what does that mean? That means that if you have a house that has ceiling fans, Section 8 does not require your house to have ceiling fans. It does, however, require that if you do have ceiling fans, they must work.
What I will add on to that is that, and maybe you could correct me here as well, I've actually got serious to the point where I actually joined my local real estate association in Tulsa. So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That could be another 30 minutes. Older white lady.
They gave me the game.
It was insane, man. It was insane. Like, the hustle they have is just at a different level. And so,
I want you all to see that, because what you learn is that so many of the things that you were taught at the employee level and at the consumer level, that in many cases, what happened is once you get into the entrepreneurial level, you'll learn that those things don't work as well, or that those things will hold you back. At the consumer level, debt is a bad thing. At the entrepreneurial level, debt is a good thing. Debt is like electricity. Well, it's bad if you're dumb enough to go stick forks in a light socket. But it's absolutely wonderful and essential if you know how to channel it and use it. So in your case, you got the real estate association. Next thing is, I'm going to ask you, do you know your banker? No, you don't. Okay. In fact, it took you too long.
Well, that's why I said no, I don't.
Next order of business, go make an appointment to go see them. Okay?
Yeah.
Whoever do you have a bank?
Do I have a bank? Yeah, I have a bank.
Go see them. Just go make an appointment to go see them and just tell them, I just want to find out about what products you have available. I'm looking into real estate, and I want to know what I have to do to have a good relationship with them. Go in and talk to them. Ask them about opening up a business account. Just go in and sit and talk to them, their card. Put it in your cell phone. I've got all four of my bankers in my phone.
I'm writing it down as you – I'm typing it as you're talking to me, man. So I'm writing down notes. I'm like a student right now.
Now, they're going to sell a bunch of stuff. They're going to try to sell you some products. That's what they do, okay? You don't buy anything, by the way. They're going to try to sell you something. I'm just telling you right now. You walk in there, they're going to try to sell something. I'm talking about, like, insurance or something like that, okay? And, it still happens to me. Even when they call me and stuff like that, I tell them, I don't need any insurance. Mr. Black, I understand. But we got great rates on it. Cindy, I don't need insurance. I'm really not what you try to do. It's redundant. It's their job. They've got insurance. They have insurance to sell. You are somebody who's not currently buying. That just means, as far as they're concerned, you're a future customer. So, like I say, though, go and talk to your bank. So what do you got? Got the people who know about getting the house, and now you're getting a better relationship with your source of credit. Building relationships with these people. Other folk walk in the bank, cash their check, and walk out. The only person that they know is the teller. The teller can't give you no money, and if they do, they're going to federal prison. Did you get that?
Yeah.
There are people at your bank who give you money, but the only people folk want to talk to are the people who can't give them a dime. Nobody wants to go talk to the person who actually can give them money unless they want to bum some. Go in there and let them know, look, my finances are straight. I'm trying to take it to a higher level, and they want to know you because you're the kind of person that they can say, okay, let's see about working with you on this. Start building your business credit and your account with them.
That makes great sense.
Next thing. Another thing people don't think about now, I don't know, for example, how big mobile homes are where you are. But have a relationship. I'm just telling you, get a relationship with them. You want to have a relationship with the people who are at the very top of real estate, and you want to have a relationship with the people who are at the very bottom. For those of you who've never watched, like, you know, the old mobster TV shows and stuff like that, you want to be that mobster who's running the town. That you know everybody, from the mayor to the town drunk. This is my city. I know everybody here. And once you do that, you will know exactly who you need to talk to get whatever you want. It's about building relationships. People know who you are. You're Sir Greatness. I didn't have anything for you last month. I didn't have anything for you the month before that. Might have a little something that you're interested in this time. Things don't always work out. That's business. But checking it out and seeing if something does work out and keeping your hands as many stones as you can, that's how you build.
Yep. That's what that old, when I went to that association, that older white lady is talking the same exact way you was talking. She owned 25 properties. And she was telling me how important it was for me to be patient and to, like you was talking about, going to bankers and making those relationships and working on my social skills. And so those are very critical things. Like, I don't mind saying my credit score is at like a 653 because I just signed up for Equifax, if you guys know what that is. So, I was really serious about it. You know, I was signing up for all that stuff, but I did not think about actually going to the banker. Oh, man, it just hit me right now. You know what? I could go try to get money off of the mortgage through the company that I work for. I think they have a program. Look, talking to you, I'm already getting ideas, man. This is great.
Creativity. Too many black men are waiting for a handout because they were raised by single mothers. Let somebody sit you down and lace you with game. Start working your creativity. You've got things. Most of y'all out there are working for companies that will do those kind of things for you. But it's like, well, hell, I pass in that. That don't. How am I going to get females with that? And it's like, we keep bypassing it. But, yeah, you've got other options out there. It might be at your company. It might be at your school. You might have extra options there. As students, there is nothing wrong with getting credit cards as a student if you are business-minded. What is credit cards? A credit card is a plastic loan. But most of you have not been taught to see it that way. You see a credit card, tacos, and tennis shoes. And somebody needs to sit you down, strap you with game, find out what you want to do with your life, and let you know that this is one of the relationships you could be building. Yes, it's not as personal, but it's one of the relationships you could be building. Now, at two of my banks, I have the option of increasing my draft. I can make a phone call. I have to actually talk directly to the banker. But I have the option of increasing at two of my banks the draft limits. So I can increase by, you know, between $5,000 to $10,000. Now, I've never used it. Let me say that one more time. I've never used that, but that's not what it's about. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. That's what building relationships and finding out everything that your bank can do helps you. Now, the bank is not a multinational bank. It's a smaller bank, but they give that option to people with certain types of accounts as a way of saying, hey, we don't have as much to give you as Chase or Bank of America, but here's what we can do that Chase and Bank of America are not even going to discuss with you. Now, of course, you know, you have it's a certain amount of time that has to pass, and like you said, you have to be patient. With a bank, building a relationship with a bank typically takes a year. You go in there, you take out two loans within one fiscal year, and everything goes smoothly, brother, you're going to be having to change your phone number to keep Cindy to keep people from calling you.
Wow.
I hope not listening. But you're going to have to change the number to keep people from calling you, because once that ball gets rolling and they establish you as a good risk, once that gets started, Katie barred the door. You're off and going.
Yeah.
And that's what that lady was telling you. With real estate, it's going to take a little bit longer. It typically takes 3 years. I'm just telling you that's the way it is, because they run into a lot of bad risks. This guy's got the money, but he didn't have enough to finish paying us. And now we're stuck in the middle of a bad transaction or a bad title because somebody didn't tell us about the mold. You see what I mean? So it typically takes 3 years of good transactions to build a good reputation with real estate people. Now, you might find some gullible some gun who's just still believing people are good. And that ain't me. So, like I say, but typically that's what you're looking at. So, yes, it's about building relationships. And those are the two, in your case, those are the two that you need to be building most. Right there. You've already got one. Go get the other one going. You need to have $2,500, $3,000 in the bank, okay?
Easy. That's easy money. Just keep going.
Okay.
What else? What else I need?
Okay. Once you got that, go get your ass to the bank tomorrow. Once they look at your account. And the other thing that helps you is how long you've had that money in the account consistently.
That's usually way more than that. So, I mean, like what you're saying, like $2,000 or $3,000 is easy money. It's just that I just need to know the next steps. Like, I've been reading books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I've been listening to an audio book called Investing in Real Estate. Great book there. And The Cash Flow Quadrant by Robert Kiyosaki. I don't know if you heard of that one.
Brother,
it's so,
let me afford.
Oh, of course.
I knew about the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series while you were still kids calling and saying, Mr. Authority. So, I'm well aware, the quadrant that Robert Kiyosaki talks about. So, but here's the thing, okay? If you got that money in the bank, how long it's been there counts also. Because they're first going to look and see, do you have a problem with overdrafts? Do you have a problem with zero balances? Now, you might not think a zero balance is a problem, but they do. And you might not think a low balance is a problem, but they do. So how long you've had that money sitting there counts. Keep all of this in mind, because the first thing that they're going to do when they walk you in that office or sit you down at that desk, they're going to ask you for your Social Security number. They're going to pull up your account. And then she's going to look over the last year and see what your balances are for every month for the last year. And that is going to determine for her how much talking she needs to do to you. They're not going to tell you this before you get there. They do all of this when you get on the spot. And then they figure out, do I need to just talk to him about just insurance, or do I need to talk to him about his loan options that are available? Or is this guy just wasting our time because he clearly does not have a track record of managing finances well enough that we should be concerned? And he might be the greatest guy in the world, but he hasn't shown us that he's doing enough business with us that we should get excited. That's right, judging you. That's right, they're judging you to find out, is this a waste of our time? But you do those things, you do those things, and it comes together for you. And last but not least, start small. Do not try to go and buy a condominium. You don't know enough to buy a condo. Go buy a well-placed property at a well-small price. Take a fix-it, take a housing inspector with you first to check out property. Take a maintenance man with you. If you find any problems, take a maintenance man with you. Get him to go with you and say, I want you to look at this thing and tell me how the housing inspector said we do X, Y, Z. Look at this thing and how much is it going to cost for you to get this thing in shape it needs to be in. Once you've got those two numbers, you can decide if you want to buy this property. And then you go from there.
Start small. Start small. Make sure your credit and money's tight for a year at least. And after you start small, rely on relationships and others to make prudent business decisions, is what you're saying in a nutshell, correct?
Yeah, you basically need to be doing all those three things at the same time, to be totally honest.
Yeah.
You need to be doing all of them at the same time. You need to be, that thing with the banker, you need to start on that day, unless you just had a janky account. But like I said, you need to really be doing all that stuff at the same time simultaneously. Really.
Shoot. That's not so hard as I thought it was. I know that I went to actual Tulsa real
part,
estate.
That's not the hard part, but go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying that I'm not trying to keep you long. I went to the Tulsa Real Estate Association, and he was telling me about the game, because all those old white folks, it was about 160 of them in there. It was a lot. And they were talking about how they used the government. I can't give it specific because it's online, but how they can get up to 90% of home repair off of a local, state, and federal government. So let's say if you want to winterize a house, you could go into it in my areas where I live at, and they would actually subsidize you to winterize and summer and make sure the home is really low on electric bills. And the part of the game is that, okay, that not only do we pay 90% of it, you could get a tax write-off off of that because it's environmentally friendly. And then on top of all that, when you do actually set up and you pay on the little that you do pay, when you go to a renter, you can say, hey, my house has been certified by this, this, and this. And it will, it's a selling point. So it's a, like a trifecta effect. And it was only available to investors. Like, they didn't even tell nobody. I was like, dude, this is, like, almost criminal. Why are y'all keeping this away from people? And I was like, oh, I see why.
Because the haves have drawn the line between them and the have-nots. That's why. Negroes go off trying to get a social program for welfare. Rich folk try to go off and get something for investing that's going to make them money. Now, I don't know how long that particular program is going to remain available. Because that has to do the IRS and tax credits and stuff like that. I don't know how long that will remain available. I think that's supposed to sunset here shortly, actually. I'll have to check on that to be 100% certain, but I think that's supposed to sunset shortly. But even still, how many people out there, as you said, are even aware of it, and how many are even asking? How many are asking what's available?
That's what
and
they
like
said
say,
they
if
bank
you
on.
You don't own investment property, you don't even care to ask. And even if you did care to ask, if you don't own investment property, what the heck is it going to do you? So you can have the knowledge, and it's still equally as worthless. If you've never gotten to go get up and go out and get it, it's worthless. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Yes, sir. I've seen on the chat that said how many blacks were there. I was the only one. It was very nerve-wracking, but I took – what did you say? I'm sorry.
That's the way it always is. When there's a place where black folks are making money off business, you're always the only Negro there. And do you know what that means? The white folk don't even have to organize to keep you out.
Yeah.
There's enough of y'all there to make trouble.
Yep. And that's what it was. But they were really friendly with me and was willing to talk to me. But I guess because it was just me, even if I did, I wouldn't be much of a threat anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, chat room, the fella said there only needs to be one of you. The problem is you can't form a team of one. If you're in a room of 50 people and all of them are white and you're the only black person, we understand that economics are organized along ethnic lines. And to say that you can be by yourself means that you are in denial of that fact. Economics are always organized first and foremost along ethnic lines. You find people who are like yourself to deal with because you have a common bond that transcends money. The black kid will work with him, but he's the problem. He is not our first choice, and when it comes to giving out information, you will not be their first choice either. They will only let you find out what they have to let you know, but as far as volunteering extra things, it's hit or miss. Now, you may get lucky and get hit every time, but what if you miss this big one that could have really helped you? That's why that paucity of numbers thing kills us so much. Well, so great.
Yep.
I thank you for calling, brother. It's been great hearing from you. It really has. And like I say, do check in with us again. Don't be a stranger. I'm glad to see things are working out very well for you. I hope you got a couple of ideas from us here on the way that were helpful.
Oh, no, it was very helpful, sir. And thank you for taking out the time to talk to me. I'm just a young brother trying to get rich and not trying. So thank you again, sir.
Well, thank you very much, brother. And as always, black first.
Black first, guys.
Let's check and see here now. Caller from the 520, is this Diane?
Diane.
Deanne, okay. And where are you calling from, Deanne?
Arizona.
I'm big in Arizona. What's on your mind, black woman?
Okay, I have a couple of questions. I own my own business, and I've been doing that for about a year and a half. And how long does it normally take for a business to take off? Because I've had a couple of customers, and I've heard the saying that if five people buy from you, you can surely get 50. So I just want to know, like, how long normally does it take for a business to take off?
Okay. I'm not sure exactly what you mean by take off.
To where I am hitting my goals money-wise and business-wise.
Okay. Let's first find out what are your goals money-wise and business-wise.
I'd rather not say that online. I mean, I'd rather not say that on the phone. But I know. But I know how much I want to make.
I can't help you with innocuous things.
Mm-hmm.
I can help you with a number. I can help you with fat. Like the first caller, ma'am, I can't help you with what you're saying is sell me a car. What kind of car? One that rolls. Okay. We're on a lot. You got something in particular in mind?
Okay. Well, I would say I would consider myself taking off a little bit when I hit 100,000 a year.
$100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's think about things here first, okay? First of all, $100,000 a year is not that much money.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is you want to buy your own job is what you're saying.
That's just starting off, yes.
Okay. I want to find out where Deanne's ceiling is.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I want to find out where your ceiling is. Blue sky for me. Tell me what your ultimate dream is. If you had your wildest dream, what would your money be like?
I definitely want to make millions of dollars. My whole goal is to have enough money so that when I have a family, they'll be taken care of and they can take over it.
Right.
And
well,
I don't
want to... You're saying you want to make it in the millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you be more specific? Do we want to make $2 million, because that's a plurality of two, or do we want to make $200 million? What mm-hmm. are we realistically aiming for?
I would say maybe $4 or $5 million.
And just remember, when white men are asked that question, they never give an answer. Not because they're trying to be coy, but the answer usually sounds something more along the lines of the sky's the limit as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in mind. Because $4 million might sound like a lot today, but when you and I were children, $1 million sounded like the lottery back then. How many of us think $1 million is doing that now? I'm just trying to get you to start solidifying the world you're about to walk into. This is the world of conceptualization, and it's time for you to start being concrete about that world. It's
mm-hmm.
time for us to start being literal and know exactly what we're dealing with in real numbers. Now, before I do anything else, because it's hard for me to think about $4 or $5 million, what type of business are you trying to make reach that level?
It's a health and wellness for curvy women. It's really a fitness membership site, but eventually, you know, health and wellness.
Okay, now you said a site.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Typically speaking, most businesses fail within the first 2 to 5 years. Typically speaking. If you've made it beyond that point, you've done better than the average. How? What you're asking about is, when do I reach profitability? Profitability is a factor of investment against, invest plus ongoing expenses. So it's whatever your income is minus investment and ongoing expenses. And if you never make that balance out, then it's never going to happen. Now, there are some fantastic cases. I want to say fantastical. There are some fantastic cases like Amazon. Now, Amazon was in business for, what, 10 years before it actually made a profit. Most of you will never get to that level, and it'll never be that ridiculous. You'll be required probably to have a profit within 24 months. So you need to prepare for that. I don't know exactly what your site will be doing, but typically speaking, you will know if you're going to be in business by the third year. You want to have enough money on hand. You want to have enough cash on hand to pay all your expenses, everything, the electric bill, the water bill, your employees, your website manager, oh, yeah, food and drink for yourself, and your own bills. You need to have enough money to be able to pay those without making a profit from the business for at least 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, the reason that most businesses fail within 2 to 5 years, the median being 3, the reason why they fail in that time is because they were undercapitalized. They didn't have enough money. Might have been great ideas, but people walk in with build it and they will come ideas and principles. And then find out that doesn't work. Build it right and be well capitalized, and they may come. So
mm-hmm.
make sure you got enough money to last you in the bank for years to make it through those first rough, lean years when you're just learning how to run your business. Next thing, what do you know about health and wellness?
I guess I should have said more. I'm a personal trainer, and I have done, you know, small boot camps locally and personal training locally, but my ultimate goal is for all my income to come from my membership site, and I make meal and exercise plans for curvy women.
Okay.
So
now, do understand there are already a lot of sites out there like that. And you say curvy. Why are you not just saying fat?
Because I'm being specific, and it's more than just meal and exercise plans. It's actually living an organic lifestyle holistically. Okay. So
you got your own.
It's a little different.
Okay, because like I said, if they can just get this from Curves or Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers already, why should they come to the end, you know? So if you got something that you feel is unique, you might have a selling point. So, okay, we got that part covered. Now, mm-hmm. How many clients do you have currently?
About 8.
Okay. Is personal training your sole source of revenue and income?
Yes.
So you only make money as a personal trainer seeing those 8 clients?
Yes.
You're paying all your bills off of just those 8 people?
Like I said, I'm just starting off, so
yes,
my boyfriend pretty much takes care of me right now. But.
Okay. Now, look here. I'm not trying to hurt you, okay? Listen to me. I'm not trying to hurt you. It's because black people tend to do what a lot of people do. They get coy when they get asked questions and try to save their ego. But this is like a doctor's office, Deanne. I can help you. But you know that nagging pain that you feel in your lower right abdomen that you refuse to tell me about because you're worried I may keep you here for 2 hours for a CAT scan? That nagging right pain could be ovarian cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be an appendicitis.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't help you if you're not going to give me the truth. I can't help you if you're not going to tell me everything. Because I'm walking.
Oh, I am giving you the truth.
I'm just saying. Don't make us drag it out of you. Because, and I know how it feels. Okay. How old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay. I was 24 years old, and I've told this story a million times, everybody. I was 24 years old, and I went to go see this man. He works for at the time, he's not with us anymore, but he worked at a prestigious investment company here in Shreveport. Millions of dollars, a old company. I talked to him. I told him what I wanted. I told him that I had some money in the bank. At that time, it was around $60,000, $70,000. I told him what I wanted to do with it. Well, what I wanted to do was I wanted to buy some personal things and told him later I'd see if I could convert them over to business use. He said, young man, how far are you leveraged right now? He wanted to know about my debt. And I'm like, well, right now we're looking somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000, $40,000. Because I got all these vehicles that are eating alive. He said, young man, pay off all your debts. I was like, but I financed all this. Nobody is demanding that I pay them now. I can just sock this thing away and start using it. He's like, young man, go pay all your debts right now. And I was like, I don't want to do that because it's going to leave me with just $20,000, and I won't be able to do what I want to do. He didn't say anything else after that. Because I didn't say that. He just realized that I stopped asking questions. I left. Less than a year later, I was out of business altogether. Didn't have the $20,000 anymore. Didn't have the $70,000 and didn't even have the $20,000 anymore. All of it gone. Because he told me something that I didn't want to hear. And I made sure that he wasn't going to be able to keep telling me things that I didn't want to hear. And now I've spent the last decade of my life trying to recover from that. I preach black economics because I was a young man who didn't want to listen. And somebody tried to help me, but they didn't say it the way I want to, so I obfuscated some things. And I'm telling you from experience, I've been paying for the mistake ever since. Where would my life be today if I had listened and just said everything to him, just told him this is what I want to use it for, and let him give me the tongue lashing that he was going to give me, and then listen. You not have enough money to start what you're trying to do. Your boyfriend does not have enough money to help you do what you are starting to try to do. You need to have a proof of concept. What is a proof of concept? You need to put together what everything you want to do on your website. You need to be able to show us that you are able to make more money from more clients than you yourself can service alone. That will prove to you that this idea is sound. Then you can go pay for websites and all that stuff. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars to get somebody to put together a website for you like you're trying to do. Then you can go talk about that. Right now, you can't do that. You haven't proven yet. I've got 8 clients. Even at $100 a day, if they come and see you once a week, that's $800. Now, are they paying you $100 per visit?
No, but I have members on my website too. So
okay. Well, what I'm saying here is, how many members maximum do you have?
Less than 10. But
like I say, and here's my point, you can't run a business off of such a low income. You won't be able to do that. So what I'm saying is,
okay,
you what?
I mean, I disagree. My boyfriend does make enough to take care of me, but the whole agreement was, you know, I quit my job so that I could focus on doing this, and because I don't really know anybody who I can really talk to ask about business stuff, I didn't know a lot of things at first. I didn't know you have to systemize everything, and, you know, you pretty much have to build relationships, and that's what I'm doing right now. But
let me tell you about something here, okay? Because you've said it a few times, and the people in the chat room even are starting to realize that you're kind of walking into this with a bit of a stubborn attitude, and I need to break you that real quick if you really want to stop talking about your dreams and start living them. You've mentioned this boyfriend several times now. Every time I tell you that you don't have enough money, you refer back to him. Question, how long have you and he together?
3 years.
Question, are you married? Of course not.
We're getting married.
You said it's your boyfriend. Last question, do you have a child?
No.
Okay.
We went looking for engagement rings, but...
Baby, do you know how many black women are... You know how many black women are walking around now talking about I'm engaged? Do you know how many black women have been run through by 2 and 3 dudes, and I can start naming off names, talking about I'm engaged the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
That word does not impress people who actually got some knowledge. That word doesn't impress us. Anybody can talk about engaged.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Okay. I send out newsletters and stuff like that, and for some odd reason, I get a lot of I get a certain amount of women who always want free information. I don't know why that is. I don't know if they think I'm too nice. But you seem pretty aggressive. So is there a vibe that could be coming off to where people, and then when I say, you know, this cost, they'll say, oh, I don't have any money. And I know that's a lie. So is there something to get around that?
Okay, now just repeat to me again here exactly what is occurring when these people call you.
Sometimes I'll get people to contact me, and they'll say, you know, I want to get my dream body, I want to get in shape, this and that. And I say, okay, well, all you have to do is, you know, sign up here and get one of my meal plans or whatever, and they always say, oh, I don't have any money. And it's just like, I don't know why they keep asking me for free information, especially when they know, you know, I send out newsletters and I put out, you know, this cost, and they, you know, I still get these this stuff from people. And I don't know if that's just normal or, you know, what do you do when that's constantly happening?
Okay. A customer who does not pay is not a customer. A customer who does not pay is a thief. People are like dogs. Ooh, he said that. Yes, I said that. People are like dogs. You train them how to treat you. And if you train them that Deanne is the free spot, guess what? Word of mouth is going to get around. Hey, this lady gives out stuff for free. And that's how you get hit up by people who over and over again want stuff for free. Because you gave it to one, and one person told 10. And those 10 people told another 10. And in just a matter of a few days, you have 100 people who know, not necessarily calling you, but they know, hey, here's somebody I can contact to get free stuff. And it's off to the races. Now, about this boyfriend, since you seem to want to jump around, I answered your question. Back to this boyfriend. Now, yeah. You're talking like this guy is Daddy Warbuck, and that ain't so. Second of all, you've only been with him for 3 years. That means that things are either going extremely well or extremely bad. Problem. The problem is you're about to enter a business venture, and you are going to be relying on him to keep a roof over your head until your business reaches profitability. Bad, bad, bad idea. Understand something, Deanne. Nobody's ever told you about this statistic before. The majority of all divorces are over finances. Most people get divorced because I married the person and their views about money weren't really my views and my values of money. Thought we talked about this over and over and over again. But ultimately, when the rubber met the road, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur simply is another word for free. I want to be financially free. And this person is not willing to do that. And it's a hell of a thing when you end up 5 years down the road with somebody and find out that they didn't really value money the way that you did. I got my hand up right now because I've been there. I'm trying to start something and build something. And we've been doing all this wonderful stuff and wiggling each other's toes. And you waited until we got 5 years down the road to decide that I'm too driven to make money. I'm too driven to be free. I thought you were with me. And then you find out the hard way. So it's kind of like drugs, okay? Drugs are a bad thing, and you want to avoid them. But guess what? You got, drugs can happen even in the best of families. I certainly hope that you and Mr. Magic get married and go to Camelot and live happily ever after. But what is Deanne's contingency plan? Now, you're 30 years old. How old is he?
He's 34.
Okay. What is Deanne's plan if you start getting really busy? And he decides that he wants somebody whose panties are a little more available than yours. Now what?
Well, I've already thought about that.
I said it just like that because we need to deal with some facts. What? Because right now he's able to see you on his timetable. You get self-employed, he will have to start seeing you on yours, even if you're in the same house. You will have less time to spend with each other than you ever had because you're trying to build something. You will have to see him in between sleeping. Now, are you sure he's going to tolerate that? Of course, you're going to say, of course he is. Everybody does. Right till they get in front of the divorce court judge. Everybody says this person is with me right until things fall apart. Everybody says it. I said it. Not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I lived. So you and everybody in the chat room has been there too. Everybody has been there. And you've probably already been there before, but you're telling yourself, well, it'll be different this time. I'm telling you that love is love and business is business. if you're going to go into the business, I'm just going to be honest with you. I have very few people who went into business and lost their business because of their relationship and wished that they had and were happy that they had lost the business and the relationship. Usually it was the relationship that caused the loss of the business, and they wish they'd have kept the business and waited and been single, and when the business got up and going stable, go find somebody with some sense. I'm not telling you he's a bad guy. I'm saying, what is Deanne's contingency plan in case Mr. Magic decides that, you know what, I was willing to pay for you when I was getting things the way I wanted. You're not so fun anymore. I think I'm going to go do something else now. What's Deanne's plan?
Okay, are we talking about while I'm married or I'm not married yet?
No. When do you want to start this business?
I'm sorry, what was that?
When do you want to start this business?
Now.
Okay, so in the next 12 months. Are you prepared if he decides men get up and leave women every single day? Let me say that one more time because this might be breaking news for you. Men leave women every single day. Are you prepared?
Well,
are you prepared to sustain your business if you become one of those women?
Well, obviously, no, not right now, no.
And that's why I'm saying you're not in a position to do this yet. Because if he's paying for the roof over your head, that's a great and wonderful thing. But if conditions change and you're in the middle of making your business and he decides to pull some bull job because you're building your business and he decides to get funny, you need to be prepared to throw the dead weight overboard. He's wonderful now. I'm looking out for you, and that means I cannot consider him in any way. He's wonderful now. What's going to happen if conditions change? Or what if he decides it's time to trade you in for a new model? Simple as that. Hey, I'm 34. 34, I'm in a better financial position than she is. You have to understand, you're with a man who's in a better financial position than you are. Don't you know that breeds contempt? You never thought about that before.
No, yes, I have. Yes, I have, because he's one of those men that thinks that, you know, a woman should bring in her weight, and that kind of gets on my nerves, but because I'm not going to get into all that, but I thought about all of that, but I don't tend to think like, I don't want to think like that. Like, we are going to get married, and I believe
in
the balance.
That's right. Only think about the positive. That's right. Build it, and they will come. Everything will be just all right. Businesses are not.
I know. Look, it could go wrong.
If businesses are not built by concentrating on the rosy scenario, businesses are built by dealing with the problems. And you've clearly expressed that you're not really interested in focusing on the problems. I just want to build this thing. Everything is going to go right. Boom, bat, bow. We're going to get married. He's going to get a promotion. I'm going to get 1,000 clients. This website is going to be the biggest thing since WebMD. It is going to be great.
Well, I have to admit that.
And then the real world steps in.
Well, I have to admit that I'm pretty confident that if I wasn't with him, my business would be, like, way bigger than what it is. But I do believe in a balance.
You need to consider that also. Mm-hmm. The person that you're with is stifling your business. Kid, you're only going to get to live one time. You are not going to be looking back at 30 wondering what would have happened if you had made different decisions. I know. I'm looking back at 22 and 23 and 24 wondering what would have happened if I had made different decisions. That's what will keep you up at night. I've had more than one female in my life. Leaving them never kept me up at night. Not being the person I could have been. Leaving them never, kept up some nights, but not years later. Wondering what my life could have been, that's the kind of thing that will have you sitting up at 2 in the morning looking at yourself and just wondering. yeah, I got a couple of nice things, but what more could I have had if I had done something different? If I had been with someone different? Someone who had pushed me more. Someone who had been on the same page with me more. What could I have had? Or if I had just stayed by myself until I met that person, what then? You're not ready to do this. You're worrying about stability. You're not ready to do this. Your financial situation is upside down. You are in an extremely vulnerable position. You do not trust this man like that. You want to get married because you got Cinderella dreams. From the sentence you just told me about him, you got serious trust issues with this man. And most women get married with serious trust issues, figuring that this wedding will bring us closer and we will work it out. And it never happens. So my advice to you is going to be concentrate on your business, get your proof of concept together, be making more money than you can handle and more clients than you can handle personally. You got 8 right now. That number needs to be somewhere around 30. You get up in that range, now we are ready to start talking about our own website. Because we're not vulnerable to him. Our financial position is strong. We've got a proof concept, got more than you can handle on your own. Time to expand. So that answers the question you originally asked. How do you know it's taking off? We got more business than you can handle. You're not there yet. I'm telling you, don't start the website until you get there. That's going to be a huge expense for 8 people. Just take them all personally now. And just like the Suja Juice store that I did yesterday, if you're really that super great and groovy, they'll be buying it and telling all their friends. And you will have a business than you can handle. One more thing. If you look up in 6 months and you still got the same 8 clients, your system's not so great. Not trying to hurt your feelings. Just time somebody told you straight out, by the way, how do you know business is failing? Because we're not growing. Despite my best efforts, we're not getting bigger. I'm never getting to the point where this is self-sustaining. You know you got a problem. I'll let you have the last word.
Okay. I will take what you said to heart.
Thank you very much for joining us, sister. Couple of things in there. It's tough love, but I wish somebody had sat me down. She was a lot more, by the way, she was a lot more congenial about it because my meeting with this man was over within about 5 minutes. So she at least listened to that. She's got some resistance because it's always hard. It's like even your religion when somebody tells you something about it you don't want to hear, but hopefully she will take some time to listen. Hopefully it will. I hope it sticks in there. These are not easy things to hear. Everybody wants to hear my dreams are going to go perfect. Everybody wants to hear that. The problem is that it's usually a lie. Life is what happens while you're making plans. Caller from the 757, you're on live with the Black Chicken.
Hello, Mr. Black. How are you doing today?
I'm Black. What's your name? Where are you calling?
My name is Nanu, and I'm calling from Virginia.
Nanu? I never know what to,
yes.
I never know what to say when people ask me that. How's your day going?
My day is wonderful.
I wasn't asking you, but thank you. Just kidding me. He's so rude. Oh, look at him. Look how he just to her. She asked him how his day was, and he said, I'm not asking. Nanu. You're already one. With a name like that, how could you not like her, okay? With a name like that. If you don't like her, you're just a mean-spirited son of a gun. If you don't like someone with the name Nanu, you are even more impersonal and more antisocial than a guy with a name like Jason Black, okay? You're worse than him. Gotta be. Gotta be. What's the time, Black woman?
Well, first, I want to say thank you for everything that you just said to the previous caller because you are 100% correct. I was in a situation. I thought I was getting married. I lost my business the first time around, and I had to start all over again, and it was the most painful experience. It was like losing a child to me because my business was my child. But My
That's
question
cool. Stop. Stop for just a moment. Because I want to talk about that. I want
okay.
I want to talk about your most painful, but darkest memories. I figured I'd be honest from the outset. But, I mean, isn't that the worst? Because, like, do you have any children?
No, I don't.
Okay. And now you and I both being childless, that's what we gave our lives to.
Yes.
That we invested ourselves. People don't know, especially, like, if business was good and you've been living better than you ever were, and then to lose all that. That's the
yes.
real thing. If you had a business and that sucker never took off, well, what the hell? But if business was good, and if times were good, and then you woke up one day and it was all gone, and, I mean, that's just devastating to have to sit there and look in the mirror, if you're even able to afford looking in the same mirror you were looking in before. and just, yeah, she's laughing. She's like, yep, that's exactly what you lose the house. You lose the car. I'm going to tell y'all
yes.
straight out. I mean, look, I'm not telling you anything that I am. Baby, what I was telling her about, after 5 years, baby lost the house, lost all the vehicles, lost the business accounts, and guess what? Because the female, she liked money, but she liked me making it more than helping me. So guess what happened when the money went?
Oh, she was gone.
Yeah. I'm not telling you all anything that I don't already know. I'm not telling you anything I haven't lived. And she told me it was going to be forever, too. She told me about the rest of our lives, too. She told me all that building was fine, too. She said all that stuff. And you know like I know that everybody says that when times are good and when
mm-hmm.
they can get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when times are hell, and not just for a week or 2 weeks, but for 6 months or 8 months or a year or 2 years of struggle. That's when you find out, is this person really built for the long haul? And what
That's
we find
correct.
Out is that most people are not. And, you know, it's just the most devastating feeling because you feel like a failure. You feel
yes.
like you feel like you have failed the world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go see your parents because you're ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
You're ashamed because, and you don't want to go see your brothers and your sisters. My God. Especially if you did a bunch of flossing. Hand up, Jason. Put your hand up. Especially if you did a bunch of that. Because the first thing they're going to want to know. So where's Escalade, Jason? Let me explain. Remember when I told you that all these things were financed and I don't have to go pay that? Would have been a good idea if I had taken some of that $70,000 and paid off my debts. Yeah, you got a hell of a painful lesson coming. Because now you got to go sit up here at damn Thanksgiving dinner with your nieces and your nephews asking you why you're driving your old Chevy Caprice. Well, there's one of the big body Impalas, but I made it look like a Caprice. You get the idea. Take the grill off. 98, baby, 98. But you have to sit there and tell all these little children, the little kids messing with you. That's the bad part of it. Uncle Jason. I ride the Escalade. Well, the Escalade's not here, actually.
What are you doing with it?
How do I tell this damn child? The Cadillac dealership has got the Lexus back. I mean, got the Cadillac back. How do you sit up here and explain that to them? And, you know, it's a conversation about if they had asked under any other circumstance, it wouldn't bother you. Four-year-olds and you're afraid to meet them. 4 years old and afraid to talk to them because everything around you reminds you of what you lost.
You're right.
But you know, like I know, the good news is if you make it through that, you know, it's like that song by Art of Dying. If I can get through this, I can get through anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that guy, Suja Juice, he started his first business and it failed. Picked himself back up, started his second business and it failed. got with the third one, it was going okay, but he put his pride aside. I hope Deanne's listening. He put his pride aside, and when church said, we can help you if we buy in, he put his pride to the side and said, you know what? I'm tired of losing. I'm ready to win. So what were you going to tell us before I took us down memory lane?
My question was about advertising. When I had my business the first time around, most of my clients, they were family and friends that I had already known. And when I had relocated with my ex, I ended up losing them to other people. They went along with other cleaning companies. So I'm really struggling with the advertising and getting my name out there. And I was wondering, do you have any good ideas on how I could better market myself and my business in order to build my clientele up?
Okay, you're in cleaning business.
Yes.
I've got some experience with that too.
Okay.
Residential or commercial?
I want to do both, but I do residential. I mainly deal with military. I'm surrounded by military where I live, and a lot of times they have to leave in a hurry because of a bad breakup, divorce, or they're getting deployed or something is going on. So they don't have the time to do the exit cleaning, and that's what I do.
Okay, in a situation like that where the situations are so fluid, first thing you need to do is you need to be working the hell out of your previous clients, okay?
Okay.
You need to be – that's where you need to start targeting it, because the best future customers are past customers.
Okay.
If they are happy with what you've done, they will come back and buy more. That's the first thing. Word of mouth is most effective advertising. And you just need to check these people, not because you actually think they're going to buy anything or anything like that, but check with them. Just make sure they're happy. Just say, I was just calling for a customer satisfaction. Just make sure you're happy with service and everything. And definitely, if you know anybody else who wants it, just finish up the phone call. If you know anybody else who wants it, please let us know. We'd like to give them the same great service we've given you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Okay.
Like I say, if you're asking about advertising, you obviously haven't got a budget for that. In a case like that, you're going to have to go strictly from meeting people face-to-face for the mouth. If you have military people there and whatnot, if you know that's a military house, you need to go ahead and, like I say, if you've got flyers for that, you need to target them specifically.
Okay.
I don't know if you've got any other places like, you know, I don't know, gyms or clubs or whatever where these people hang out at. You need to be there also. Wherever your potential customers congregate, since you can't pay TV and radio, you need to go there yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in a church?
No. My mom,
you're like me,
she's a missionary,
like me.
But I don't go to church.
Yeah, that's the problem, though. Do you trust your mom to sell your business for you?
She tries. She does.
Okay.
So, yeah, I can
One
say
last
that.
Time. I didn't say that you have to put your mom in a meat grinder, but I'm asking, do you trust your mom to line up potential clients for you?
Yes.
How much do you trust her to be able to do it competently?
I trust her all the way to be able to do
trust
it competently.
Trust yourself?
Yes.
More than yourself?
Yes.
You trust her more than you?
No, I don't trust her more than me.
Okay, I was about to say, you need to give up the business and let her run it. My point is, she's only one person.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice if she goes to her church and you go to another one, particularly one that the military people go to.
Okay.
Be real nice, because they're thinking about dying. They're thinking about the real world, the next world, a lot. Not trying to diss nothing. I'm just saying, these are facts.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be there. I'm not a church-going person myself. That's why I chose a business that doesn't rely on that. But yours is people-based. As you all can tell, I'm a big people person, as you all can tell. By listening to my broadcast, my previous broadcast, and my callers, you can tell I'm a really big people person. There are folks right now who are going to hear this in a moment because of a 7-second delay. They are going to fall out laughing in just a minute when they hear that. They're going to be like, okay. He said he's not Mr. Laugh tonight, but boy, that was me slapper. Now, like I say, though, you need to be in places where they're at. So obviously, you're not doing a lot of that, okay?
Okay.
You're going to have to use the little white lady strategy. We as black folk don't like to do that. They like to go out and go meet people. Yes, that's how they build their businesses. That's the clientele. You have to do that. You are going to have to put on some shoe leather and go meet your potential customers and let them know where you are.
Okay.
Now, you're up against some big guns out there, but if you do residential cleaning, you have to do that. Also, the elderly. Don't know if you have any senior citizen homes there or whatever, but people who don't want to take care of their parents and stuff like that, if you know any nurses, that's also a good thing to have. Well, have some nurses in your back pocket. If you don't know any, go meet some.
Okay.
Because they go and take care of old folks, the disabled, whatever. If they need somebody to take care of them, then that means they need somebody to do other things for them, too. Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll be able to charge them more for, you know, hell, we do the cooking and the cleaning. For double price, then. But, you know, I'm just saying. Like I say, you're going to have to be creative about it on a base level. First question to ask yourself is, well, how many of these people out here potentially need my services? And then you can't shy. You can't be shy. Remember what I said to Sir Greatness about developing relationships.
Yes.
You don't go into the church around your flyers. Please don't do that. Get to know people first. Then throw around your flyers.
Okay.
Hey, look, real talk time, y'all. Y'all know the little gay dude at your church? You know he always plays for like two or three churches, right? On Sundays, he's Baptist. On Wednesdays, he's Methodist. On Saturdays, he's Presbyterian. Isn't that amazing? On Tuesdays, Pentecostal. Am I lying?
No, you're right.
Okay. It works for him. Why isn't it going to be able to work for Nanu? And who can turn down a cleaning lady named Nanu? Who can do that?
You're correct. I got to use that one.
Right. Just to address, like I say, if there's any other questions you want to address, please let me know. But now that's for residential, okay? If you were working like commercial or something, I would be telling you a different set of advice because of contracts. The people that you're dealing with, though, you're just saying this is one-on-one. So this would not be a contract situation where you're going to their place like every week or every 2 weeks, correct?
Yes.
Yes or no?
No, well, yeah, I'll be going
yes,
to their place
no,
every... Yes. But I
okay.
do want to
I'm
do
not,
contracts,
whoa, whoa.
We're both but on I just don't know how to...
You've lost me. Yes, you go back. These people who you said are your past clients, are you going to go see these people regularly?
No.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to. What I'm saying is these are not people that you go and clean their house or go back, you whatever, every other week. These are not regular people.
Yes,
so that's why
right.
if it was a commercial contract and something you had to do every night or every week or whatever, I'd be giving you a different set of advice, okay? I'd be giving you different advice. And somebody in the chat room spoiled it already, but, you know, you can work for somebody else's company and just take clients. But in your case, like I say, since you would not be in a contract situation, it would just be work for hire. The advice is different. But if you ever want to get commercial, that's one way that you could do it. But by the time you get to that point, hell, you already know who you want and what kind of stuff you're going to do. So that one usually takes care of itself. But that would be, if I were doing that, if I had to be doing that today, that's what I would be doing.
Okay.
I'll let you have the last word.
I was looking in the chat. My name is Egyptian. It means beautiful. My dad is West Indian. I know everybody goes with that, Nano. He was actually saying Nano, and my name is Nanu.
Oh, my God. He actually looked into it. What does he say? Look, let me explain to you. That's not me. My name is Nanu. He says Nano, okay? No. Get it?
And that's it, Black First, and I will be listening. Thank you.
Black First, sister, thank you very much. Well, she said, let me make sure you all understand. I have researched this. I am not from Mork Indy. He is nah, no. I am nah, new. It is Egyptian. He is Martian. Understand the difference. Do I look like Robin Williams? No, you don't look like Robin Williams. Wonderful kid, she really is. Please call us back again, Nanu. Definitely. Caller from the... Let's pick up. Caller from the 334. You're on live with the Black Channel. Well, we went for a pretty good amount of time there before having another abductee. Caller from the 334. You're on live with the Black Channel. Put down the mollies. We're much more fun to talk to. A caller from 334 has been abducted. Not really sure what happened to them, but this is the Black Channel, the most dangerous radio program on Earth, as a matter of fact. And the reason for that is because you might not make it to the end of the broadcast. You could end up being abducted. I certainly hope you won't, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that it could happen. Let's go ahead and see if we can try to take, now we're coming up on the last 15 minutes here, so let's see if we can try to fit a couple of more calls here and see how it goes. Caller from the 305, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from the 305 on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from the 305 has also been abducted. Just in case there's anybody who's on the line and you just wanted to listen in, but you didn't actually want to talk to me, which is understandable, by the way, you need to press the number 1 again, and that will take you out of the host queue so you can listen as opposed to getting on the line and just sitting there and getting your call dropped, which is what just happened to 305. So, if all you want to do is listen, press the number 1 again. That will take you out of the host queue, and then your call won't have to be dropped. Because I don't want to have to drop your call. That's not my goal. If you want to listen in, that's perfectly fine. Just do it on the listener side, not on the host side.
Used to being around. They don't have to do that. They don't have to behave that way. And then you turn around and go across the fence and talk shit about people over here being monkeys and fools and dummies. And I just find that very intriguing. I find it very interesting how you can put others down who are really trying to do something positive and add something positive. But when it's on a negative note, here you are.
Okay. Caller from the 404 apparently was watching the radio or something. I'm not sure. Caller from the 804, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from the 804 is on there. But apparently they've been abducted too. Try this one last time. Caller from 804-396. You're on live with Black Channel. I do not believe that people would be pocket dialing. Caller from 804-396. 1860, You're on live with the Black Channel. If anybody hears from 804-396-1860, let them know that they're driving around with their phone wide open. Definitely, if you see them out there somewhere, let them know, hey, stupid, your phone's open. So, or if you all want to call him, he's 804-396-180. Let him know, hey, man, you're stupid. Hang up your phone. Yeah, I saw you. You're sitting up here weaving. I've got hundreds of people listening right now. My audience is bigger than it's ever been. And that's a good thing. But I'm not always sure that people are here for the same thing. So what I do is I give people an opportunity to choose. I'm the only person out there that actually does that. I don't beg for calls. I don't demand that people call in. I let them know when I'm broadcasting. It took 5 years to build what we got so far, and it's going. But you get a unique experience here, something that you don't get anywhere else. Now, I want to explain to you all something else here. I am not, I'll tell you about what I'm not. Somebody had said earlier that she liked me. She liked me a whole lot. Sometimes I'm a jerk. Now, let me tell you right now, saying things like that, I like you, but sometimes you're a jerk. I take great umbrage, great exception, and great offense at somebody saying something like that. I like you, but sometimes you're a jerk. That's what she said. Sometimes you're a jerk. Sometimes you're a jerk. I take brief exception to that, because you're lying, because it's not true, and because it's misleading to people. And I don't want anybody out there saying stuff like that. Sometimes you're a jerk. That's a lie. I am always a jerk. You sit up here and tell people sometimes, and you're giving them the impression that there are times of the day that I'm not. That's a lie. Then they call in up here thinking that they're going to be getting the receptionist at the Holiday Inn and find out real damn quick I'm not her. Tell them that. Let them know. This guy is really informative, and he's really straightforward, but he's also a pretty stiff drink. So if you're looking to be entertained, this ain't the guy to talk to. And if you ask dumb questions, he's not going to try to assuage you or let you down easy. That's not what he does. He doesn't let you down easy. He just puts you down. Wait a minute. Well, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, I don't mean put down like sometimes, I guess. I don't know. If you're looking for Mr. Entertaining, that ain't me. If you're looking for Mr. Congeniality, that ain't me. If you're looking for Mr. Laughing and Knee Slapper, that ain't me. If you're looking for the Sky Jock, that ain't me. If you're looking for the Morning Show or the Late Show, that ain't me. If you're looking to be treated like an adult, if you're looking to be treated like a man, and if you're looking for empowerment, now that's me. That's me all damn day. See, we can take another phone call here. Caller from the 414, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, Justin Black, how you doing?
What's your name? Where are you coming from?
Willie Wilder, and I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, it's been a while since I got a call from Milwaukee.
Yeah, man, it's pretty sad down here.
I figured it'd be depressing at this point.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I figured it'd be depressing at this point. What's on your mind, black
well,
man?
I can tell you a couple things. You asked, did our family leave anything for us to build on? I can tell you for my family, no. My family had the idea or the conception that the young generation was supposed to provide for the older generation, which was the wrong idea. I'm 40 years old, no kids. You know, I've been in the military. And me and my mother had a falling out one time. She's like, you're supposed to take care of me. I was like, no, you're supposed to take care of yourself. She's like, well, I took care of you. I was like, I didn't ask to be born.
Kind of amazing how that little fact tends to slip around people.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of amazing how they want to act like giving birth to you was doing you the favor. Isn't that always amazing?
And then another thing I ran up on is that me and my brother, we're 4 years apart. And when people, you know, they come to us, it's like you're like night and day. I was like, well, yes. Because my mother still influenced him, but she has no influence over me.
Now, you're talking about your... What about your father?
Never knew him.
So that tells us everything we need to know about mom. Okay.
I saw pictures of him when she was young.
Again?
I saw pictures of him when she was young.
Oh, man. Now, wait a minute now. Did you do that because I asked or because I mentioned that before, or are you one of these people who you've done that a long time ago or whatever?
Oh, I've done that a long time ago.
Okay.
So what I did was...
Now, but you mean that, which means you heard me say it before, though, that you all need to go take pictures of your parents when they were young. And it once you start putting the world in perspective, it kind of starts making you upset, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tell people
what
you
got said. Me... I'm sorry.
Go ahead and tell everybody what you saw then. I'm curious. What did you see?
Well, when I was coming up, my mother had a guy that was pursuing her from the bus company in Milwaukee. And he was doing his damnedest. So I had to join the team. She was not letting him join the team. Now, here we are. I'm 40, she's 60. And, you know, my grandmother got dementia. And she's like, well, you know, I ain't got nobody in my life. You know, I want to get closer to the family. I'm like, well, if you would have gave that man the time of day, well, we would have been somewhere different than where we are now, but you didn't, so there you go. And mind you, she only had eighth grade education. She never graduated from anything. And when she worked retail for all her life, and she used to complain to me, she was like, you know what? I'm getting tired of training people that's in charge of me. And I told her one time when she was 36, I was like, why don't you go to school? Me and my brother, we're teenagers. She's like, well, it's too late for me. And I understood that.
Because they're old in their ways. Because she has a retiree and a senior employee mindset, but she's never developed retiree and senior employee characteristics. So she wants, like a lot of things in life, I think you'll agree, she wants the benefits but has never paid the cost to be the boss. But she sure wants the benefits of it. And that's how she was young with a man who was sensible, and she wasn't really checking with him. Now, you said the guy from the bus company. Okay, that wasn't the guy she wanted. So how did you get here?
Oh, I can tell you that. The guy she birthed me through, he was from College of Mississippi, her hometown, and he had a problem, I guess, with putting his hands where they were supposed to be. And one day, she checked him by shooting him from top to fist with a shotgun. She grazed him. But, you know, they put her in jail, and they came to him, and it was like, well, do you want to press charges? And he's like, well, no, because I love her. And she told me one time, she's like, if I was to marry that man, he would have whooped my ass. So I said to myself, pretty much, yeah. You shot me from the bottom of the fist with a shotgun. Yeah, I would have judged you.
Now, here's the thing, okay? Do you actually believe that story? the way that she tells it. Because remember, the tale of a hunt will always favor the person with the gun, you know, as I say, until lions can speak. But do you actually believe her version of the event?
No, it's 50-50. My mother's hard-headed. It's like how she raised me and my brother. She raised me with fire. She raised my younger brother with ice. I do good under controversy. My brother, not so much.
And the problem is, world always hits adversity. Always, always, always. And that's the problem. You can't do that. No disrespect. No disrespect at all. You know this is true. Young dumb hoes grow up to be old dumb hoes. And the problem is that young dumb hoes usually live their lives broke. And the children are the ones who suffer.
Well,
so, brother, at this point today, hell, you're supposed to take care of me. Brother, you go get her that bumper sticker for your new car. That bumper sticker that says, I spent your retirement. Real talk.
Here's the killer, though. We had a conversation about welfare. And I told her one time, I said, welfare is only to get you by. She's like, well, no, welfare is supposed to help you. You know, you could be on it permanently. I was like, well, no. Because when I got back from the Army, you know, I had issues. I almost got blown up. I had a lot of shit going on until I went to the VA and got help for it. And she was telling me, well, you can do this and do that. You can go to, like, the housing authority. You can do this and this. I was like, well, I don't want to be on the system because if they cut the system off, I'm SOL. I said, anyway, that's not something you're supposed to depend on because you're not in control of it. They're in control of it.
The purpose of the welfare system right now is to help cultivate and ensure that underclass. Now that money's getting strapped and the haves are saying, okay, we need to get these bums to welfare, time to start weaning them off of it. And they're starting to talk out all over the place. Don't worry about her. She's always butting in. And what they're going to do at this point, because your mom's got that old mindset. White folk didn't have to hold you down when you have a mindset of people are going to pay my bills. I'm going to get the welfare and people are going to pay my bills. You can't blame the Ku Klux Klan, and you can't blame white supremacy, and you can't blame racism, and you can't blame discrimination when you've come to my table, sat down at this house in front of your own children, and told them that I'm supposed to be getting a welfare check for life. How can you sit here and seriously say that you're a fit parent or a fit human being, and you're sitting up here talking about I'm supposed to get welfare for life? What struggle against the white supremacist system are you trying to do? What struggle against oppression are you trying to have? What legacy are you trying to build for your children? What did you build? What are you trying to leave to them? And they're young, and if they had Facebook back then, can we just keep it all the way real? She'd have been sitting there taking the selfies with her rump, sitting in front of the damn bathroom mirror, sitting up there talking, I know I look good, whether that shirt is too tight or not. She'd have just been doing that, and that just would have been the end of that. And what happened to the children? Damn, y'all. And that's just the way it works. And she's left you in a hell of a position now. I mean, just a hell of a position.
Well, when I was coming out of the military, when I left Iraq in 2005, you know, one of the lieutenants said his father, he was getting married to a Korean chick. She was a number lieutenant. And their father helped him buy a house. I said, well, my mother could help me do something if his family could do it. I had got a passport. I was willing to do all this, you know, Harley Brendan Brown and Root, trying to catch that train before, you know, they downsized. And next thing I know, I got an email telling me she took the money and bought my brother a car and that I was going to have to come back home. And I was like, what? So I came back to a two-apartment bedroom sleeping on the couch for a year. And I was like, this is bullshit. And I was like, what do you want me to do with this? And we had a falling out. I was like, this was not the plan. I said, you changed it on me on a, you know, on the drop of a dime. And I was like, you didn't talk to me. It's just like, well, I thought. I said, well, it didn't matter what you thought because you weren't funding it. I was funding it.
The people who never put money into something always have all kinds of big, great, grandiose ideas about what you're supposed to do with your money for their benefit. They've always got that idea that here's what you can do to make things easier and wonderful for me. Meanwhile, they gave you no resources to do any of that. Isn't that amazing?
Well, I tell you, one guy that did give me resources, it was a white guy. I worked at the store. It was like, you know, you buy doors and sashes and all that good stuff. And one day he came and kicked me in my ass. Not figuratively, literally. He put boot to ass on me. And he was like, Willie, I know you like making money. He said, I know today is slow. He said, but there's one problem. He said, you standing here looking out the window is not making any sense to me. He said, there's little projects you can make to keep yourself busy. He said, it's better to find work than have work find you. And when he said that to me, it snapped on me because I took that through all my whole life. I never had anybody tell me to do anything. After he told me that, and I told my mother, she was like, well, I told you. I was like, no, Mom, you told me to be the best what I could be at. You never told me to find work before work find me. It took a white man to tell me that, and literally to put boot to ass. And when I came back and I told his sons got mad at me. When I told him, I said, thank you for that information.
Because they were like, what the hell are you doing, man? You're giving the game.
Well, I'm going to go.
I've had that happen a number of times in my life, too, by the way. I've had that happen a number of times. Can't tell you how many times. Well, yeah, I can tell you. It happened like 3 or 4 times. Now, I've had an experience that a lot of young black males don't get to have. I got to meet not one, not two, not three, but 4 different millionaires, all white, before my 21st birthday. Most young black men never get that. And not just meet them. I got to sit down and pick their brains and talk to them. And there was one thing that always made them shut up and clam up real quick. They were real good telling me about the stuff they had bought. They were real good for telling me about the land and the wheeling and dealing. It was only once I started asking about where they got the money from to get started that every single one of them immediately got quiet. Had one of them, this dude was drunk. He was drunk, laughing and joking, but could barely stand. Started asking about his business. He gave up a bunch of information. And right when I asked him where he got the money to get started, don't you know that redneck son of a gun sobered right up once I asked him that? Don't you know he was straight as a damn arrow as soon as I asked that? I'm not surprised to hear your story at all. I got a few just like them. Seen it over and over again. As I've told you all before, they are not going to willingly teach you and your children how to beat theirs. And the children damn sure ain't going to be cool with it. What are you doing? It's already scarce out here. And you're enabling more competition? But you know why he probably did that?
Well, because I'm gonna tell you how tight it is in Milwaukee. It's come to a point where now we are choked out. There's no coming back. I lived in it. I remember how it was back in the 80s. Now we choked out. It has gotten to the point where you even get online and look for a mid-level security job. You got to have a degree. Any type of misdemeanor, they want to know about it. Oh, you have any kind of movement violation? Oh, that's on record. Because you can go online and go to Wisconsin, you know, court search, and they pull you up right away. Brothers are getting choked out. And the females, it's not even funny. If you're about something, they get scared. Because, like I said, I'm 40 years old. I don't have any kids. And when I date a female with kids, this conversation went like this. Hello, how you doing? My name is such and such. Your name is such and such. She asked me, how many kids do I have? I said, I have none. There's a long pause. And then she's like, don't you want kids? I was like, at this point in time, enough. By the time the person's 18, 19, I'm not trying to do no battle royal with that person. I'm going to end around and shoot them. And I was like, you know, I was like, I'm coming with the table with me. You coming to the table with three or four people. You should be grateful that I'm even talking to you. But no. What do I see? I see them pick guys that are like a little bit more feminine, a little bit more smaller. They can't, you know, they can't protect them, but they can be in trouble. They even had a white woman when I worked at FedEx, like, who you live with? I have to look at her like crazy. I was like, I don't live with nobody. I live by myself. I don't do roommates. I don't live with no woman. And my last girlfriend, she got mad at me because she used to talk crazy. And I used to leave. She's like, where you going? I said, I'm going home. Why you leaving? I said, because I can leave. I don't sit here and have to suck this up. I'm going home. That's a wrap.
Well,
and that's where we are in Milwaukee.
I've seen specials on that. It's a rough damn situation. I mean, since the plants and the manufacturing dried up, it's a rough damn situation, especially for black folks there. It was rough for us everywhere because we haven't built anything. But it's real damn tough. And you know what, brother? As tough as it is, I want to tell you, this is good. This is good.
Because it's time for
some Darwinism to start entering the equation. Simple as that, because we can't survive another generation, no disrespect, we can't survive another generation of women like your mother. We can't make it through that, where these are just hoes sitting on the fence, cranking out children, and saying, well, we'll figure out, because she was trying to keep a dude, and I'll get these babies to try to keep him, and found out that, nah, baby, you ain't got really nothing that anybody wants to keep, including them kids, and man, we can't, those type of women are ghetto generators.
Well.
And we can't survive another generation like that, where another generation of females who are looking to the government for their survival and make children. If they were just doing it on their own, it's different, but they're making children and looking to the government for survival and dipping in your pockets and your paycheck because Barack, suspect Moist Obama and the rest of the tyrants out there have made that decision. We can't survive another generation like that. We just won't.
Well, in Milwaukee, we had 8 districts in Wisconsin. There's 8 districts. Because I did a report on this for English in my when I went to school for my English class last year, for last semester. And I had a white teacher, and I broke it down to her. I said, look at this. 8, you go on the program. You brought a program for the SNAP program, right? And I told her, so there's 8 districts in Wisconsin. And I broke it down and said, if you look at it, the majority of the black people is in 4th district, which is Milwaukee. Everybody else, the highest number of people on welfare is white. But the whole funny thing about that, it had a subcategory. It said white with Latino heritage. And I broke that number down. And she looked at my paperwork and gave me a frown. I was like, well, I told her, I said, they can cut welfare off now. I wouldn't give a fuck. I was like, because overall, it's not going to hurt black people up here because there's not that many of us in Wisconsin. I said, you got Janesville, you got all them other
other counties, Madison, all the counties. I said, those are the people that's going to be choked out. And I'm tired when I see Scott Walker get on TV, talk about welfare, and get a black person. I was like, no, that's not the majority of the people that's in Wisconsin. It's white people. I said, put them on TV. I said, when you choke them out, let me know, and then we can talk about it.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. Those welfare numbers would not be nearly so devastating if we as black people were actually building something.
True.
The problem is, it's one thing if you're white and your manufacturing and job base and whatnot is subdued. That's one thing. It's quite another thing when you're black and you've got those headwinds, but you have not developed an economy of your own. Your headwind is lack of economy. And you're focusing on how we can get the welfare as opposed to how we can get the entrepreneurship. And white folk are getting ready to do a 180, brother. I mean, understand something. This is what black people need to understand. You need to take a look at European history. And people need to ask themselves, is European history replete? Look it up. Is European history full of a bunch of examples of taking in massive amounts of people and just sitting with them? Or is European history full of examples of mass purges?
Or mass purge.
Now, black folk don't think that way. We think that these people are here to be our caretakers. And you were in the military, which is as rich as the places you can be. You were in the military and understand completely, in a life and death situation, that these are not our caretakers. That is not the way they see themselves, and that's not the way we should see them. These are not our caretakers. They come from a history of that kind of thing. And what I'm trying to get our people to understand is that we need to take care of ourselves. When your survival is dependent upon that type of historical context, that's trouble. That's huge amounts of trouble. And the way that we see things organizing now is a situation where people are organizing for the purposes of saying, okay, it's time to take the final moves. What is the plan? The middle class is the most wonderful construction in economic history. Why? Because the middle class is what separates a place like America, or a place that was like America, or a place like America was, from the old feudal monarchy system. The middle class was your proof that you could move from the lower class into the aristocracy. We don't call it aristocracy. We say the wealthy. But
yeah,
that's the system. The middle class is just about annihilated now. Now, under the old monarchy system, how you were born was how you died.
Pretty much.
If you were born into a royal family, you were okay. If you were not born into a royal family, you were poor. And you died that way. And right now, the way the situation is shaping up is what you are going to have is, as I explained before, they say we're going to have two classes of people, and I'm trying to make the point to everybody that no, we are not going to have two classes of people. We are not. Listen to me very carefully. There will be two classes of people. There will be one. Just one. You will have those who own, control, and can pass things down. Wait a minute. What if you're not one of those who own, control, and pass things down? You will be annihilated. Or you will serve those who own, control, and pass things down. Now, I don't really consider that to be a second class. You just have people who exist and those who really technically don't. That's what you're going to have. And to be totally honest with you, you're almost there. Scott Walker survived that recall because of the Koch brothers. Because of the Habs. The Habs stepped right in and said, you're not stopping this genocide from happening.
I was at ground zero for that.
It goes, they were up there at the Capitol, and the whole world is watching. The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching. The whole world watched him get reelected.
Well, they ran Scott Barrett against him. And I told my brother, he's part of the Democratic Party, and I told him, you can't run that man twice, because first time he ran, he did nothing. Herb Cole, you know, gave up his seat. I said, you would have got Herb Cole, and he would have advocated his seat halfway through the election, then you would have had some. But if you would have ran the mayor again against the governor, it wouldn't have worked. I said, doing something twice and expecting a different outcome, that's insanity. It doesn't work.
Here's the problem, brother. It didn't matter who you ran against them. They weren't able to get all of those legislators recalled that they wanted. And when I saw that, I said, they're not going to be able to move Walker. They're not going to be able to move him. And the reason that they won't be able to move him is because these guys are about to decimate your state with money from the outside. They could have put anybody up against him. They were lost. That was an election that they were not going to lose at all. They were not going to lose that election because we don't believe that elections can be bought, and they can.
Oh,
remember about 10 years ago, okay? 10, 12 ago. Remember there was the big hullabaloo 10 years ago about Blu-ray and HDDB.
Yeah.
Blu-ray, which was the format put out by Sony. HDDVD, the format put out by Toshiba Corporation, for those of you who didn't know. Now, Sony got their asses kicked back in the 80s about Beta. Even though Beta was superior picture and superior format, your machines are like Macs. They're proprietary, which means they were more expensive. Then came VHS. And as we all know, Beta became, we can't even call it a bastard stepchild. Beta never went away, contrary to popular belief. Beta never went away. It just became this backwater format. And Blu-ray, now as we all know, that didn't put Sony out of business. They had the Walkman and PlayStation, a bunch of other hits. When the DVD revolution came and Blu-ray showed up, Sony said, no, we're not losing this time. Toshiba and the others beat us last time. We're not losing this time. Sony already owns a movie house, Columbia.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know. So they said, we're going to be, Columbia is going to exclusively be using Blu-ray. Then they went and talked to Disney. Once they got Disney on board, that was it. They paid as much money as they had to get Disney on board. And that is all. Toshiba didn't have a chance because these guys said, we're not losing this time. And you don't understand that this game is not about who's got the best ideas and who's got the format and who even has the best interests of the people in mind. This battle is about dollars. And we came this time to win. And we're not losing. And when those fellas showed up in Wisconsin, they were not going to lose. And let me tell you, ever since Citizens United, and very soon here, McCutcheon versus FEC, Citizens United said that corporations can spend as much as they want on federal elections. McCutcheon give citizens the right again to spend as much as they want on elections. And at that point, they barred the door. The amount of money they spent on Scott Walker, that's the amount of money that you're going to start seeing for city council seats in Milwaukee. You're going to start seeing $10 and $12 million spent on a city council seat. On just one, $30 million for the mayor, $50 million for the governor. What I'm saying is that the people who are not haves simply will not be able to. You will be here, but you'll be a fixture. And what I'm saying is that we don't consider our car to be a class of citizen. We consider our car to be a car. Corporations are people, my friend. And what I'm saying is they're about to become the only class of people. Everybody else will just be possessions. Now, you need to decide which side of that line you're going to be on. Because understand, when the corporations have the ability to spend that much money, take a look at how they've dumbed the people down with television, man. Take a look at how they've dumbed them down. Take a look at what Facebook does to people. My God. Look at what's happened to me in the last 24 or 48 hours if you want to know how dumb people are, how gullible they are. And you want to know what Coca-Cola and what Walmart can do with unlimited money to spend on propaganda? You want to know what they can do with that? Please. Don't have everybody living in the damn trailer park and talk about these are the good old days.
Well, JB, I sit like this, me personally. I never read the book Spook by the Door. I never even saw the movie. But when I went into the military, I knew that I was sleeping with the devil. And one thing I told myself, I'm going to get what I can from them while they take what they can from me. And when I came back out, people tell me, well, Willie, we know how to fight people. We know how to do this and do that. I was like, well, no, you don't. You don't know how to deploy an explosive. You don't know how to move on a fire. You don't know if the enemy is trying to get close to you. You don't know certain things. If you arrive in a situation and things change at an instant, you don't know how to behave. And they said, well, Will, you're doing what the white man wants you to do. I was like, well, no. I picked up a trade. So I know some stuff go down. I know how to move about, and I won't be surprised. I say this for a reason because me and my brother went to the dollar store, and there was a boy, he was panhandling for money. I told him, go to the military. I said, take what you can from them. Don't buy into the idea. Take what you can from them and use it to your advantage. A black woman looked at me. She's like, well, you can go to the Job Corps, and she handed him a nickel. She handed him, well, not a nickel, but some money. And I looked at my brother and said, he's going to take that money. He's going to be back here tomorrow because he already got what he wanted. Now, I say this because, you know, I see the people, you know, in my community, and they talk about, well, if the people, you know, if the government tries to block down on us, we can fight back. And I'm just like, well, you're not fighting back. They said, well, we can march. I was like, well, march is not going to get you anywhere. Well, we can protest. I said, who are you protesting to? I was like, that's what's not going to get you anywhere. And I was like, when you go buck wild, I was like, you got to do it with a purpose and a, you know, some kind of plan of action. And even if it goes bad on you, you got to have an exit, you know, strategy. And I talked to people, and they're really missing the boat on it. And I'm like, I had one guy told me, he said, well, I protect my family from the enemy. I was like, the enemy is not going to come to you bearing their fangs. They don't come to you with a smile until they get into the door, and then you're going to see the fangs, and it's too late.
Protest.
You know, we already had a couple of cases up here with a brother. He went to a store, you know, up in West Allis. He, you know, he tried to rob the place. They called him. He put the stuff back. He tried to leave. It's like, no, you're not leaving. We're calling the police. We're going to detain you. And they choked him out, and they killed him. And we had another brother, you know, he had just got a fresh out of jail. He robbed a woman. And they had him in the back of the squad car. He had sick of cell. He couldn't breathe. But they thought he was playing. He ended up dying. And my mother looked at me. She was like, well, don't you believe that, you know, we should feel sorry for him? I was like, well, no. I said, well, this is whole town. I was like, if you say, well, I'm going to do something that could possibly get me fucked up, I was like, well, you know what's going to happen. Regardless if you put the merchandise back or not, regardless if you're back in the squad car and you can't breathe or not, you know these people don't care for you. It's like a football team. They're coming into your hometown, into your stadium, and they're trying to whip your ass. They don't care how you feel. They care nothing about you. They want to win the game. So if they score a couple of touchdowns on you, don't complain to the ref that they're scoring on you or that they're holding you. You're supposed to be better than them because, you know, they're trying to kick your teeth in on your home turf.
We don't actually believe that we're in a fight. We actually believe we're in a conflict. don't treat it like that. The only people we treat like that are each other. But as far as the white system and the white dominant culture, no, we're not doing that at all. Not even on our minds. That's why we're still talking about protesting. That's why, and you got that from Past the Pork Chop. Let me know what all that protesting did to stop Scott Walker. Oh, yeah, nothing. And got black folks sitting up here using it like a religion. That is the resort of the weak and the cowardly. It's time for us to talk about what works. What works is building. If you got five black churches in Milwaukee, it's time for you all to create a kibbutzim and start getting this thing going. If you don't have a kibbutzim and you're not trying to get everybody together like that, you don't have a future. You all can't be sitting here, a bunch of separate straw strains dancing around and thinking you're going to have a future. It's not going to happen. I'll let you out for the last word, brother.
Well, I'm going to put you like this. For all the haters that you have for the last two podcasts, I'm going to put you like my first sergeant put to me when I was a corporal before I made sergeant. He told me, he said, hey, all the people that are hating on you, he said, are they paying your rent? I was like, no. He said, are they buying you beer? I was like, no. Are they getting you off? I was like, no. He's like, fuck them. Black first, baby.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much. The people who care don't count. And the people who count don't care. I don't chase drama. I chase dollars. I don't chase pettiness. I chase power. And that's real talk. We'll see about taking one last phone call here if we can. Caller from the 832, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first.
Black first, brother. What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is Omekian Descendant just checking in with you tonight. Enjoying the show and very pertinent topic that you covered today. And I learned a little something.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I learned a little something earlier when you said you could put your money in the bank account and do the secured loan thing. And I was thinking maybe I could do that with the money I do have saved up and build my loan credit with the bank. So I just want to say I appreciate that because that was a good idea that I did not know.
Yeah, and believe it or not, that's not the only one. Now, the reason why I'm not going to go more in-depth about that, though, is because different institutions have different tools, like credit unions, for example. In their cases, they may be more liberal with you. If you got somebody in your family who's been a member of a credit union for a long time, that's another avenue that you can use as well. We as black men pass by banking, and the only thing that we use a bank is to deposit our checks, as opposed to using it as a financial institution that you can use to increase wealth. But we never try to find out, okay, what does this bank want from me in order to make us go into business together? Now, remember what I said before about I was a young man who had a rare opportunity. I spoke to millionaires about what we need to do. And, okay, we got a lot of noise. Like, squad call. No, they got you in chokehold, brother. What happened was he told me, he was describing for me this large real estate purchase that he wanted to do. And he wanted to build these condos on it in Louisiana, of all places. But he wanted to build new condos. And he said, I've talked to my banker, and we're talking about going in on this together.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way before. I had never heard somebody talk about the bank as them going into a transaction together with the banker. It was just always, I'm trying to get a loan. I'm trying to get a loan. I'm not talking about this as if it was a real concrete partnership and that this is a partner in this, not a social service whose job is to see if I can qualify for free money. We as black men are not taught that. And so we don't think of these institutions in that way. But we need to. and find out what exactly can they do for us and what exactly can we do for them. So definitely check out the ones that you have access to and find out exactly what's available. But the first problem is that most black men go to the bank with an empty bank account. They can't figure out what they're getting. We got a lot of static on the line. But I thank you very much for your call here. I'm not really sure what's going on the line there, but Department of Homeland Security doing some hellacious things there, apparently. We as black men don't do that. Now, I'm not leaving black men out of it. As you saw, we had a couple of ambitious black women call in tonight. The women get on point when they see the men getting on point. That's what happens. And that's why I'm concentrating on the men. It's time to stop chasing draws, y'all. It's time for the conversations to stop being dominated by sex, y'all. It's time to stop with the relationship talk, y'all. It's time to stop talking about simple things, y'all. It's time for you to start talking about, if you want a fetish, brothers, you want a fetish, let's get a fetish for power. Let's get a fetish for empowerment. Let's get a fetish for finance. Let's get a fetish for economic development, building. Let me tell you something. Is this thing on? A female don't turn me on if she's not talking about building. Let other Negroes talk about how bad they broad looks, how fine my woman is. Baby, you don't turn me on if we not talking about clocking dollars. That don't turn me on. I had that thing on Bio Channel. She was the black chick, the drug dealer, I forget who it was, from California. They called her the queen something. And she was about money day and night. I think she wants to be a minister now. She was about money day and night. And I'm like, that's the kind of female that gets my attention. I'm not trying to get shot out, you know, drug deals. But that kind of mindset, that's the kind of female you can build with. That's the kind of female you can make things happen with. That's the kind of female that you can change the world with. How fine she looks doesn't turn me on. And you know why? Because how fine she looks don't pay my bills. The man told you that 50 years ago. You're not listening. You know your loving just give me thrills, but your loving don't pay my bills. I need money. All these black men out talking about I'm a breast man, a thigh man. I'm a booty man. I'm a face man. I'm going to get some thigh. I'm going to get me some breasts. Man, you get that money. And then you can get the thighs, the breasts, the ankle bone. You can get it all. You concentrate on getting that money and get some power. And the females will chase that. You dudes are sitting up here trying to figure out how to get a dime. From respect to Tariq Nasheed. Trying to lace these young fellas up with game. But just listen to his callers, young men, who are asking him, calling in and asking him, how do I get a dime? Tariq, how do I get a dime? Tariq, how do I get a dime? And if they had their finances straight, they wouldn't need to ask that. The reason that they need to ask how did a dime is because the rest of their life is jacked up. And the females aren't really checking for you. A dime can get somebody who's sensible. A dime has the ability to attract somebody who's got his act together. So she knows what her options are, and she knows what they are early. You fall asleep when I talk about entrepreneurship. You get bored when I talk about financing lines of credit. You are uninterested when I talk about develop a relationship with your banker. You want to develop a relationship with Bushiqua. And I'm saying that if you want sex, I understand. Sex is a basic biological function. But brothers and sisters from around the world, let's get the money right. Let's get our money right. And then sex is a given. Sex chases dollars. That's what I was saying before. It's like in a dog, only you're doing it the wrong way. You're sitting up here chasing the dog around the yard and can't figure out why you can't catch him. You come out with dog treats and just stand on the front porch. Take one of them, throw him out there in the yard. He's going to eat that treat. And after that, what does he realize? Well, damn. I don't know who that is on the front porch, but that's where the treats come from. I don't know who it is, but that's where the treats come from. I'm going to chase them treats. Ah, but that's the catch. See, you can't get these treats without going through the man. Get the money, brothers. Get the money, sisters, while you're at it. Let's be about our money. And let's start locking things up like Score More Promotions and Suja Juice. Let's start locking it up like that. Because all this other nonsense and all these other distractions, that's just a colossal waste of time. And if you came here tonight expecting that, I am thrilled and pleased that I have disappointed you. And you should come back and join us next time for some more disappointment. But if you're smart, you'll shut the hell up. You'll be quiet. You'll ask some sensible questions, and you'll let us strap you up with some game. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I might do another broadcast tomorrow. I don't know. If I do, I will announce it. But as for this one, we are done. I am your brother, your host, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.